जय अमृषुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमाम शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्वदेवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वायुमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धान्नास्येन सदा निरस्तगुहगं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्वलगैरवोत्रपरमो धर्मत्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किम्बावरैश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पधरो गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं हुरहो रसिया भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विशोल्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं वैवायनो विरहादरमजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिदीर्षतां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजम्बदां मुरारेर्मधुरिन्ना कनिकापि काविकावी विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമദ് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികതോഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖ്യം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മോഹം കഴുതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിൻ യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്ര നേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവഹീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമംഗലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേരീയമാനം മുദം ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതീകിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്മന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗമദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ വിശ്വം ദർപ്പണ ദൃശ്യമാന നഗരീ തുല്യം നിജാന്തർഗതം പശ്യൻ ആത്മനി മായയാ ബഹിരിവോൽഭൂതം യഥാ നിദ്രയാ യസാക്ഷാൽ കുരുദേ പ്രബോധസമയേ സ്വാൽപാനമേവാദ്വയം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമീതം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ ബീജസ്യാന്തരിവാങ്കുരോ ജഗദിദം പ്രാംനിർവികൽപം പുനർ മായാകൽപിതദേശകാലകലനാ വൈചിത്രചിത്രീകൃതം മായാവീവ വിജൃംഭയത്യപി മഹായോഗീ വയസ്വേച്ഛയാ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമഹിതം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ യസ്യൈവ സ്ഫുരണം സദാത്മകമസൽക്കൽപാർത്ഥകം ഭാസതേ സാക്ഷാൽ തത്വമസീതി വേദവജസ യോ ബോധയാത്യാശ്രിതാൻ യസാക്ഷാൽ കരണാൽ ഭവേന്ന പുനരാവൃത്തിർഭവാംഭോ നിധൗ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമഹിതം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ നാനാഛിദ്രഘടോദരസ്ഥിത മഹാദീപ പ്രഭാഭാസ്വരം ജ്ഞാനം യസ്യതു ചക്ഷുരാധികരണദ്വാരാ ബഹിർസ്പന്ദതേ ജാനാമീതി തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാത്യേവം സമസ്തം ജഗൽ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമഹിതം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ देहं प्राणो अभीन्द्रियाण्य विजलान् बुद्धिं च शून्यं विदा स्त्री बालान्ध जडोबहा जडोपमास्त्वमहमिति भ्रान्ताभृशं वादिना माया शक्ति विलास कल्पित महाव्यामोह संहारिणे तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नमिदं श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये राहुग्रस्त दिवाकरेन्दु सदृशो माया समाच्छादना सन्मात्र करणोपसंहरणदो यो भूल सुषुप्त पुमान् प्रागल स्वप्नमिति प्रबोध समये य प्रत्यभिज्ञायते तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये. सो yesterday when we finished that we mentioned that with self-realization, even if there is any defect in the rest of the things like body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, in all those places, even if some problem happens, it won't affect the knowledge of the self, what is realized inside. That we talked about the example of Padmavada's experience with what happened to him, Padmavada. So, sometimes we have this difficulty that, especially at the older age, that you can't remember things, not able to study things, read the books. All these problems will come. What we have to remember is, even if you study the books, even if you remember things, if you have not realized it, they are also wasted. Isn't it? Even if you have studied the books, even if you have remembered things in your brain or memory, if it is not realized inside, that's also wasted. That's also wasted because it's all in the platform of the intelligence platform. So, then the last one, shunyam. Shunyam means the voidism. That shunyam, by that it is to be understood, it mentions also there that deha pranam abhin indriyan abhichalam buddhim cha shunyam vida. Shunyam. Shunyam means sleep. Sleep is the shunyam, shunyam state. So, in shunyam state, shunyam means sleep. Shunyam comes and goes. Sleep comes and goes, isn't it? But in the shunyam state also, there is awareness. Only thing is, the awareness is there, the proof is when you wake up, you immediately realize it, that you had a good time. That is coming from that awareness. Otherwise you won't know that. Because ahankaram also dissolves in the sleep state. Mind dissolves, intelligence dissolves, ego dissolves. Everything dissolves in the deep sleep or sushupti state. Sushupti is called the sleep state. So, in that sushupti state, even though everything is dissolved, and you have experienced the blissful nature of the soul, when you wake up in the morning, somebody is reporting that it was a good time. And that comes from Atma. That comes from the Atma. So, but how to find him? So, even though in that sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, while sleeping very deeply, you are conscious that body is not there, you know that the body is not there, the individual identity is not there, personality is not there, ahankaram is not there, but still he is there, Paramatma is there. And that is in the next verse. That's what we are looking at. Rahu grasta divakarendu sadrisho maya samachadanal sanmatra karanova samharanado yobhul sushupta puman pragal swapnamidi prabhoda samaye yapratyabhijnayate tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. Ajani Swami took a fantastic example there. At the time of eclipse, grahanam, Surya, sun and the moon, the solar eclipse time, the sun planet, lunar eclipse time, the moon planet gets covered, is it not? Gets covered by Rahu. That is the Puranic version. Puranic version is Rahu covers, we studied in the churning of the milk ocean, while the nectar was being served, Swarbhanu, that demon went and sat on the other side, and Mohini cut his throat, became Rahu and Ketu. That Rahu, so you may think that, so Rahu, is that a real thing? And we believe in the Purana story is that Rahu tries to eat the sun or eat the moon. During the solar eclipse, it is trying to eat the sun. And during the lunar eclipse, it tries to eat the moon. But if you ask the question that Acharya Swamiji also has accepted all these things, no, they haven't accepted that. Because here, deliberately, Acharya has used the planet Rahu there. Reason is, Rahu actually doesn't exist. There is no planet called Rahu. But because Rahu doesn't exist, Acharya has used the word Rahu there. Because it is covering something that does not exist is covering the sun. Something that does not exist is covering the moon. So, something that does not exist is covering. That is what we feel, that Rahu is covering the sun. Rahu is covering the moon, isn't it? So, to children you can say these things, that the snake is trying to eat the sun planet, or snake is, Rahu is the snake, is trying to eat the sun or trying to eat the moon, isn't it? So, if you tell the children, they will try to look at the sun, is the snake coming to eat? But the snake has no tail either. It's half gone, isn't it? So, that is what it is saying here. Rahu grastu divakare indu sadrusho. Divakaran is sun, indu is the moon. So, grasa means to swallow. Mayasam achadanal. Just like sun and the moon is being eaten away by the Rahu, even though there is no Rahu, it appears as though Rahu is going to, is there really nothing is covering the sun or moon. Only as science also says the same thing, that the shadow of the earth is covering the sun and the moon. That is eclipse. Shadow of the earth is covering the sun and the moon. That is accepted. In the Shastram also, it's the same thing. But in the Puranams, we say like this. That's where the difference is. In Puranam, so many things are spoken. Sometimes you have to, in the process of understanding, that earthly planet, earth is covering that, the shadow of the earth is what is coming, appearing in the sun and the moon at the time of the eclipses. So, in reality, it is not happening. But grasa means to swallow, sun and the moon, Divakara and Indu. So, it says, it appears as though Rahu has eaten is trying to eat the sun and the moon. Similarly, what you have to remember here is, the sun represents our intelligence, and the moon represents our mind. That is how it is. Sun represents our intelligence, moon represents the mind. That is why if you develop a relationship with the sun, if you depend on sun, your intelligence will become clear. Intelligence will be healthy intelligence. Similarly, if you depend on the moon, your mind will get better. Mental conditions will get better. So, exposing to the sun and worshipping the sun improves intelligence. Exposing to the mind, moon, and worshipping the moon improves the mind. Improves the mind. So, you can see this in some people when the Purnami comes or Amavasi comes, full moon day or new moon day, when those things come. Close to that, you will see a difference in the people's nature changing. The nature changing. So, you can see from that word, even in the Western philosophy also, they accept that lunar or lunacy or lunatic, all this is come from that. Lunacy lunar, lunatic. We say somebody is lunatic. That means his mind is gone funny. So, Vedam says, the mind has come from moon. The mind has come from moon. In other words, from Paramavrishan, from the Supreme Lord's mind, moon was born. Purusha Suktam prior says this. Chandrama manaso jataha. In the Purusha Suktam you will see this. Chandrama manaso jataha. So, so this moon and the moon and our mind is closely connected. Moon and the mind is closely connected. Similarly, sun and our brain, our intelligence is closely connected. Sun and our intelligence is closely connected. So here, just like the sun and the moon is being swallowed by Rahu, in a similar way, inside us, there is a covering happening. There is a covering happening. A screen or a covering happens there. That is why it says here that Rahu Grastha Divagarendra Sadrisho Mayasam Achadanan. Achadanan means it puts a cover. It puts a cover, blanket in other words. So, and that Achadanam or that cover, you are experiencing every day, which is done by Maya in the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state, how we are taken away from this awareness, from this world and the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego. She puts this strong cover in between and separates us from the rest. That's what he said. Just like Rahu does it with sun and the moon. Rahu is not real. Maya is also not real. But she effect is there. That is the important thing. That is why Acharya Swami used the word Rahu there. Not that he believes in all the Rahu is eating the sun or moon. Like ordinary people will believe that. Ordinary means when, like in the early stages in spiritual life, you have to believe all that. To start with, to get interested in spiritual life. Oh, there is a snake there in the sky, up there, going to eat the sun and going to eat the moon. That's what everybody tells the children at that stage. Because children will ask this question. What is this eclipse? How to explain to them all these things? How will they understand? So, the easiest thing is, Rahu, there is Rahu there. And that Rahu is a snake. He is going to eat the sun. So, what they do, they try to look at the eclipse. Nowadays, they look with all modern things. Olden days, they used to cover a slate with powder, charcoal powder. And through that, you can look because it doesn't damage the eye then. And the children say, oh, you can't see any snake coming, they say. And they look at it. There's so many ways they're looking at it. Directly you can't look at the sun because it'll damage the eye. So they look at it different ways to look at the sun and to see the eclipse or the lunar eclipse in the same way. But the reality is, we say like that Rahu is, but actually it is not. It is the shadow of the earth. We also say the same thing. But just like Rahu doesn't exist and cover the sun or the moon, similarly, Maya also doesn't exist, but it happens this way. How is that happening? So, Maya's power, Maya says, at that point at the deep sleep state, Sushupti comes, Maya puts the curtain, takes the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything from us, and we are in happy state. We are in the happy state. And every single night, you are experiencing this bliss of the deep sleep, isn't it? Happiness is there, but at the same time, you don't know how to explain that happiness. You don't know how to explain that happiness in the deep sleep, isn't it? That's why saying here that sanmatra karanopa samharanado yo bhul sushupta puman irahu grastha divagarendu sadrisho mayasam achadanal. Maya put the achadanam. Sanmatra karanopa samharanado yo bhul sushupta puman. That means that while sleeping in that deep sleep state also, ahamasmi, that awareness or existence, astitvam, in the morning when you wake up, it's telling you that you had a good sleep. You did enjoy that deep sleep state, isn't it? And that is when you start thinking, why don't I have it in the daytime, in the wakened state? You start looking for it, is it not? when you had that deep sleep state and then you experience that happiness of the deep sleep, when you wake up in the morning and you remember that, and that because it has given you energy in that deep sleep, it's given you energy, and it also, because there was no thought waves, chitavritti was not there, ahankaram was not there, the world was not there, and you are so comfortably enjoying that without all these things, you start thinking, why don't I have it in the day when I am awake? We are all looking for that, isn't it? So what we have to do is that experience what you had in the night, in the deep sleep state, that little by little we should try to bring it to the daytime, in the wakened state. That is a sadhana. In the yoga, jnana margam, it's a sadhana, that is, to bring it to the wakened state. So when you wake up in the morning, give a few minutes time, just not get up straight away and start running to the bathroom and toilet. Instead, a few minutes, sit down, and then that is why you will see there is a famous verse called Pratasmarana Stotram, which is the explaining this in the morning, how when one wakes up, what one should do. It's only three verses, but the first verse itself, if you look at it, you will see the what the verse says. Pradasmarami, in the morning when you wake up, Hridi Samspurad Atmatattvam, remember about the self first. Who is inside? Hridi Samspuradam Atmatattvam. Samspurad Atmatattvam. Atmatattvam, the awareness inside. Who has reported in the morning of the happiness you had in the night time? What was happening there? Think about that. Sachit Sukham Paramaham Sagadim Turiyam. That Turiyam state, a taste of that we had in the deep sleep state. Samadhi state, a state of that. Sachit Sukham Paramahamsa Gadim Turiyam. Paramahamsa's experience in the Turiyam state, that was experienced in the deep sleep state, Krishna has given you a taste of that, what it is. That means, without world, without body, without mind, without senses, without ego, happiness in life. A taste of that Krishna gave us in the deep sleep state. Remember that in the morning when we wake up. How we enjoyed the taste of that, of the realized state. Ya sotna jagara sushuptam aveiti nityam. Neither wakened state, nor dream state, nor deep sleep state can give you that, because it's coming from Turiyam, from the four state, samadhi state, that is. It's a taste of that. Ya sotna jagara sushuptam aveiti nityam. Every single day we have these three states going through. But in that Sushupti state, Krishna gives you a taste of Turiyam also, samadhi state. It gives, and then he wakes us up and puts it back to Jagrat again. So when you come back to Jagrat, if you wake up and think about this, oh, what I enjoyed in the night during the deep sleep state, Tad Brahmam Nishkalamaham Naja Bhuta Sangaha. At that time you realize, I am actually Brahmam, because that state cannot be experienced unless you are Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmam. Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. I am not a combination of these five material elements. Slowly you catch on to that understanding. That is what saying. Pradasmarami Hridi Samspuradatma Dattvam Sachil Sukham Paramaham Sagadim Turiyam Yasvatna Jagara Sushuptam Avaidi Nityam Tal Brahmanishkalamaham Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. It is not the five material elements we are. At that point, you got to wake up to that reality. That this is what I have learned from today's deep sleep. That tonight I slept in deep sleep and I experienced some bliss. And when I wake up in the morning, I started realizing that if such a happiness is existing, that without body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, I am still feeling some happiness, blissful state. So that means that they are not the ones which is giving me happiness. It is only a taste of that Turiyam or Samadhi state. A taste of that Krishna is giving us in the deep sleep state. Just like we say, the taster session. It's a taster session of the Turiyam or Samadhi in the Like we give Bhagavatam taster session, isn't it? To people in the... Similarly, it's a taster session in the samadhi. Of the taster samadhi in the Turiyam, in the Sushupti, Krishna gives it to us. And then he wakes us up and sends us back to the same three states. So to remember that verse, and it's not good enough just knowing the verse, but you have to remember what the verse is saying to us. You have slept very well and you woke up in the morning and you start thinking a few minutes before, where was I? What was I doing there? At that time I didn't have a body, I didn't have a mind, the personality was not there, ego was not there. And I was happy. I didn't know anything, but I was happy. The intelligence was not working there either. There was no intelligence either. Body was not there. Mind wasn't there. Intelligence wasn't there. Nothing was there, but I was happy there. Without all these things. So, and the mind was not working. That is why it said, Rahu grastha divagarendu sadashaha. What was there? Sanmatraham. Sanmatra means your existence. Only thing is, you were there. You are there. Karana Upasamharam. Upasamharam means devolution. Upasamharam means devolution. Devolution means that just like you are coming out after that, it has gone inside everything and it closed itself. Karana Upasamharataha Yo Abhu Sushuptastaman. Sushupta Puman. That at that point, you can see Sanmatra karanova samharanado yobhul sushupta puman. Sushupta puman. You are sleeping. This verse is very important because once you understand this verse very well, it will answer a lot of other questions in this world. Let me come to that. So, you are experiencing here that you experience happiness there. And as soon as you woke up in the morning, you are saying there, in the morning when you are waking up, you are saying, Praga swapna midi prabodha samaye ya pratyabhijnayate. Pratyabhijna. Remember this word, pratyabhijna? Krishna uses in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam as many places. You will see this word, pratyabhijnayate. Pratyabhijna. What does pratyabhijna means? That's the question. So, I am saying that I had a good sleep, deep sleep, isn't it? But when do I know that I had this good deep sleep? When do I know that? Pratyabhijnayate. That is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that person who experienced in the deep sleep that happiness, that is the same person after waking up saying this. That is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means instantaneous recognition. I was sleeping. Now you don't, it's a very finer thing that is. That means you are deep sleep. You are in deep sleep, right? And in that deep sleep, you are experiencing happiness. Just happiness only there. Deep sleep means bliss. Nothing but blissful experience. And then you woke up in the morning. When you are woken up, Ahankaram came first, then the mind came, thought waves came, then the senses and the body, everything came. But at some point, as soon as you woke up, you realize that what I am feeling, I am now. My Ahankaram has come and I am experiencing I am. And in the deep sleep also that I am was there. Ahankaram wasn't there, but the Atma was there. All things there. So, that person who slept in deep sleep is the same person who has woken up now. It's the same person who has woken up now. And knowing that and realizing that is pratyabhijna. Is pratyabhijna. That means in the deep sleep who was experiencing the happiness, realizing that in the vacant state that it was you, the same person, is called pratyabhijna. Is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is a word used in the Bhagavatam throughout, you will find in many, many places. Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that the person who experienced the happiness or bliss in the deep sleep state is the same person when he wakes up, and that's me. That is me. And then you realize that my other side, Ahankaram, is there, which is later on comes. Ahankaram comes later. Before that, Pratibhijna is there. But because it happens so fast, and we don't have time to think because we are busy with going to work. So there is no Pratibhijna, nothing. There is no time to recognize all these things. So that instantaneous recognition, that when you wake up from the deep sleep, that it was me who has experienced that. But then what happens? You woke up and then Pratibhijna goes away, Ahankaram comes in. That's finished there. That's over. So Pratibhijna means that instantaneous recognition. As soon as you wake up, at that time Ahankaram even hasn't come. Even before that, I had a good time, you are saying. By then Ahankaram had come, and then it all mixed up with the body, mind, the senses, everything, and all gone. All gone. But Pratibhijna is that particular point of time when you wake up straight away from the deep sleep state, when you realize what was happening there to you. What has happened to me? So knowing that, I am that same person who experienced the deep sleep state, is called Pratibhijna. It's called Pratibhijna. So it doesn't require a lot of time. It's as fast as thing it happens. So as we gave the example that if the chain is lying in the neck and somebody points out to you it's there, you don't have to search. Immediately you recognize it's there. Similarly, without being any intervention from the intelligence or the mind, without being influenced by intelligence or mind, that realization within you is called Pratibhijna. It is not touched at this point by intelligence or mind. When you are saying this, I had a good sleep. As soon as you wake up, somebody asks you, did you have a good sleep? Before that you say, because of that experience of that good sleep and the bliss in the deep sleep, where you had no worries, where there were no thought waves, where there were no body, where there was no world, nothing was there. You were not even come to aware of your home or family or any such thing. Even before that, all this happens. So at that point in time, mind has not started working yet. That means it's only a very split second in between it happens. We think we wake up into the mind, isn't it? We don't wake up into the mind. Mind comes only after Ahankaram comes. After my existence, I am, that existence, awareness goes away, and then the Ahankaram comes and then the mind comes. That means in a very short period of time, so many things happens in us at that point in time. So without being interfered by the mind, without any interference from the intelligence, there is a knowledge at that time operating in us, that awareness. That is called Pratibhijna. I don't know whether it's clear. That before the mind, intelligence, ego, everything comes in, after waking up, in between there's a very short gap, very, very short gap. At that gap, mind has not come in, not started operating yet. Intelligence has not started operating yet. Ego has not started operating yet. But you have woken up. So that experience which was in the deep sleep state, the bliss, that you are remembering that in the vacant state, that's called Pratibhijna. That's called Pratibhijna. This Pratibhijna is there in so many places. We'll look at that later. So as soon as you woke up, you realized is that I am existing. And that is your real existence, that Pratibhijna. Pratibhijna darshanam. There is a philosophy itself based on this Pratibhijna. In the Kashmir, in Jammu Kashmir, the Shaivism was very famous there at one time, Kashmir Shaivism, that they are based on this Pratibhijna darshanam. Their philosophy is built up. Pratibhijna darshanam. Similarly, Jnaneshwar, who wrote Jnaneshwari, Bhagavad Gita's commentary, famous Maharashtra commentary, and he also wrote a book called Amrutanubhavam, and that is based on this Pratibhijna darshanam. Based on this Pratibhijna, he wrote this Amrutanubhavam book. So, and it is written in Marathi language, Amrutanubhavam. So, there, this step by step of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all these things doesn't exist in their teaching. What they are saying is, when spiritual master instructs you the knowledge of the self, and immediately it worked, pratyabhijna happened to that person. With that it is over. With that it is over. That means hearing process, mananam process, and nididhyasanam process not necessary. That's what Jnaneshwar's opinion in the Amritanubhavam. He says that if the spiritual master has instructed the knowledge of the self, it goes directly into the place where it's meant to go, and straight away you realize the self. Realize the self. So he's saying that if you absorb in other things, probably it will take a longer time than many years before he... But provided the jiva has to be ready for that. Only then. If the jiva is fully ready, and if the spiritual master has spoken the truth, he will have what is called pratyabhijna. He will experience pratyabhijna. And that pratyabhijna will stay with him. So, that means in reality, the jiva has to be matured. Jiva has to be matured. Pakvam. So, they are giving the example that this chain which is in the neck, it doesn't take long to recognize. It's as soon as somebody points it out to you that don't look for it, it's already there on your neck. Immediately it's changed, isn't it? In the same way. So, that is called pratyabhijna. Similarly, from the Sushupti state, how long does it take to come to know that I am such and such a person? When from Sushupti, when you come out, it doesn't take very long to know who you are, isn't it? As soon as you woke up, everything has come by. It means you came to know that I am so and so. I live in this place. I live in London, Ireland, in America, wherever it is. And I have my family, I have this, my wife, I have my children, all kinds of things. So, and it is me who has been sleeping. It is me who has been sleeping. And me who slept is now woken up. Me who slept is now woken up. And me who has woken up now is going back to sleep again. Going back to sleep again. And me who has woken up dreams in the night. Everything I am doing. So what was that existing in the Sushupti, in the deep sleep state? The interesting thing in that deep sleep state was this personality was in there. Vyakti Bhodam. I am, is it not? That is the difference between Sushupti and the other two. In Sushupti, Ahankaram goes, which is a big thing. In dream state and the awakened state, Ahankaram is there. That's why we say, remember we mentioned this before, it's based on the Ahankaram, all our karma, our activities here in this world. Because it needs a post, and that is Ahankaram. Because depending on this Ahankaram, we are making plans to do different things. Depending on the Ahankaram, we conduct our whole daily activities. So, practically, vacant state is the field of Ahankaram. Ahankaram's playground is vacant state. And Atma's playground is deep sleep. See the difference? Ahankaram's playground is the vacant state. Because in a vacant state, who is doing everything? Ahankaram. He makes the decisions. He does things. He enjoys. He suffers. When problems come, he is suffering. Atma is not suffering. He is suffering. And similarly, when happiness comes, Atma is not connected with all the happiness what we have in this world. Ahankaram is enjoying. So Ahankaram's playground is this vacant state. Atma's playground is the deep sleep. Because there, Ahankaram is not there. Atma's way of life, everything is based on the Atma's state of happiness. So in the deep sleep state, this Ahankaram was not there. Obviously, body was not there, intelligence was not there, mind was not there, none of them were working. But there was one curtain there between
these things and the self. There was a curtain there, isn't it? And that is what is made by what we call as avaranam and vikshepam. Avaranam is that. Remember these two words, avaranam, vikshepam. Avaranam means the cover and vikshepam means, so the avaranam, deluding potency and the covering potency. Deluding means delusion. To make us think that there is something else. That is the delusion. Avaranam is a coverage that it does not show the truth. Vikshepam is something to make you think that there is. Now here is where you have to understand this avaranam vikshepam very well. Only then you will understand this explanation properly. That avaranam and vikshepam works like this. For example, say the rope is lying there, because this is the most famous example in the Upanishads and on the Shastram altogether. In the Bhagavatam also, it's the same example. The rope is lying there. You are not seeing the rope. That is avaranam. But if you see the snake in the rope, it's called vikshepam. So, out of these two, who does the maximum damage? It's worthwhile thinking about it. Is avaranam causing the more problem or vikshepam causes the more problem? According to Vedantam, avaranam is not the problem, vikshepam is the problem. And there's a lot of explanation to that in the books to talking about that. Suppose if you have not seen the rope, it's not so serious. You didn't see the rope, so what? Nothing has happened, isn't it? So, for example, you are walking in the darkness somewhere and you didn't see the rope. And you put your feet on the rope and you have gone. You're gone. Nothing has happened. But suppose you have accepted inside that you had seen the snake and you put the feet on. What will happen then? You can see that you will think in the snake, immediately as you move on, you think, is the snake coming, following me to bite me? Or did the snake bite me? So many thoughts will come. Because that you have inside thought that there is a snake. Because of that, isn't it? So instead of one thing, you are seeing something else. If you are not seeing anything, if you didn't see anything, you put your feet on the rope and you are gone. Nothing has happened. But if you have seen something else there, inside, if you have thought like that, then that is the greatest problem. That's the greatest danger. So, that means vikshepam does more, vikshepam creates more problem than the avaranam. Maya puts the avaranam and vikshepam both on us. So avaranam is not a problem, vikshepam is the problem. So similarly in the sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, I didn't know who I am. I was only enjoying it, but still I didn't know who I am in the deep sleep state. But and I didn't know that, and that is not a serious problem. But the problem comes in the waking state and the dream state. You start thinking I am something else. Is it not? Ahangaram comes and you are identifying with that ahangaram ego inside, and due to that ego you are identifying with the body, with the mind, with intelligence, with the ego, everything. Identification started in, and that is vikshepam. And that identification, which is called vikshepam, is more dangerous than the avaranam that was put on. And because what happened now, it is the vikshepam that has created all the problems. Is it not? And so now, in the vacant state, what has happened? We have gone and acquired knowledge all over the world. All kinds of knowledge we have gone and acquired. Because of all that knowledge, we are in serious trouble now. We can't accept the truth. Because of all this knowledge, so-called knowledge, what we have acquired from the world, that itself has become a problem for us. So you can see what vikshepam does to us. Is it all? So not knowing something is not serious problem. Is not a serious problem. But instead of not knowing one thing, what you have to know, not knowing that, but instead knowing something else is the problem. That is all of our problem now. We all have this problem now. We have gone to all these places, studied all the things, whatever they have taught us in the uni and in the school and college and everything, all kinds of things they have taught us. We studied all that very seriously, and now we are asking questions. Endless questions coming from us. So ajnanam in shastram means this. This vichevam is called ajnanam, not avaranam. Avaranam is not called ajnanam. Avaranam means there is a curtain there. Only problem is that you don't know the thing. Not that you know something else. This knowing something else is the problem. Or in other words, vichevam is the problem. Avaranam is not the problem. That means what you have to know, which is the alma, the soul, not knowing that, and instead knowing something else, what is should not be known, you know it now. That's where the problem is. So not knowing something won't cause any problem. But something that does not exist, knowing that, is the problem. So not knowing the rope is not a problem, but not knowing that there is a snake, there is the problem. Snake, there is the problem. This, now take it to the world, what happens? If you take it to the world, see, a person who is not educated very well, he will just live in this world and go. He won't cause any problems. But when you educate everybody in this world, they give the example like this. Fighting nature is there in people. Some people will fight in life, quarrel, argue, everything will go on. If you go into, sometimes you will in the slums and ghettos and all that, there will be constant fighting going on between people. And if they don't like each other, they will throw one stone at each other. That's all. Or beat up each other with a stick or something. It is over. Localized. It's finished there. But what does the educated one do? He will throw the bombs from the top. In quality, both are not much different. They have the same quality. What you have done is, you have gone and educated everyone. On the one side, we are saying, everywhere there will be 100% education should be there. And what happens? Opposite side, the terrorism is growing much faster. Because we have educated them. If you haven't educated them, they won't be doing all these things. You have educated these people. That is why this problem is. People don't realize it. On the one side, we are saying, because he is not educated, that's why he is doing this. No, because he is educated, that's why he is doing this. If you haven't educated them, they won't know all these things. They will still beat up each other with some sticks or something like that. But we have gone and educated the whole world. We tell everybody should be educated. More schools. But what happens after education? He gets all this understanding, how to throw the bombs from the top. Isn't it? So, earlier, if he was, he will anyway do it. Whether it is bomb or stone, he is going to do it. That's his vasana inside will work. So, if you had let him do what he wants to do, if you don't educate him, he will be finished with some throwing stones in a small village or in the ghetto, somewhere, wherever he lived. It will finish with that. But you have educated them, brought them up, made them chartered accountant and all that, and then he does these things. You saw in the paper that somebody was hung. He was a chartered accountant. What's happening? This is the after effect of that. That if you keep on educating people like this without knowing their vasanas, this will end up in this way. This will end up in this way. So, even if you don't have education, ragadvesham will be there in him. Ragadvesham will be there in him. And his ragadvesham will be throwing a stone or beating you with a stick or something like that. Because he's not educated that far. It is not sophisticated like that. But now, if you have educated him very well, he will throw the bombs at you. He will throw the bombs at you. And he will do all such things. And that is what we are experiencing now. That's what the world is experiencing now. If you don't have education, he will throw stones. Or maximum what he will do is, he will take a knife or something and kill somebody with the knife. With that it will finish. But if you give him education, what will happen is, he will make bombs, he will learn the technology, how to make it, and he will produce it, he will distribute it, he will ship it to other countries, and try to create as much disturbance as possible in this world. Isn't it? So, we are thinking that literacy is important, isn't it? If everybody is literate, it should be good, you say. But we are experiencing now the after effect of our so-called literacy. The after effect of our education. And still, these leaders are saying, no, we have to make the whole world educated. Everybody should have 100% education. Everybody should have the opportunity to get educated. That's the propaganda everywhere, isn't it? So, the after effect of all that is what we are experiencing now. So, the whole reason behind that is this, that that if you don't educate them, will the people won't be there who will be fighting and arguing? Yes, they will be there. But that will be very much limited to a small area. They will not expand the way it has been expanding now. What's happening now, you can see that it expands worldwide now. Fear, everybody living in fear when the bomb will go. And if you go into places, sometimes people in the slum areas and all that, they will fight each other. People, you'll see this in many big cities, in slums, you'll see. And they'll fight each other, but with that it's over. They will live their life after that, isn't it? We say that you have to educate everybody, and we educated everyone. And then what happens is that these very same people, they will visit the cities, but when they are walking around, they'll be carrying a bomb with them. That's all. So, Vidya, avidya, two things. Vidya means to know what is should be known, to know what should be known, what one has to know, one should know. And when it becomes a negative knowledge, it creates a problem. And that's what's happening now, isn't it? What is to be known, he does not know. This is why people are so proud of this modern education. But as far as the character is concerned, it's completely gone, isn't it? So what's the use of this education? You start wondering. So not knowing something is not a serious problem, but if you give them the wrong knowledge, that is the problem. And that is education now. Giving them the wrong knowledge, the result of that we are suffering now. The after effect of that. So, suppose you didn't know anything, it will be like in the deep sleep state. You didn't know anything, there was no damage, isn't it? Nobody has said that in the deep sleep state till now it was a miserable experience. That no one has said that. Everybody says it was a happy state in the deep sleep state. And it's a universal experience also. But all the problems comes up in the vacant state and the dream state. Vacant state and the dream state. Why? Because the mind started operating. So, how to come out of this situation? Now you understand why it is so, this problem, that in the deep sleep state you don't know anything, not knowing. And it didn't cause any problem in the deep sleep state. Similarly, in the vacant state and dream state also, if you didn't know anything, it's not a problem. If you didn't know anything, it's not a problem. But problem is not knowing what you should know and giving a wrong knowledge to people. That is what is causing the problem. So, unfortunately, that concept is not very much understood by the leaders who are planning all this education, and they keep on pushing this education, but everything on the wrong level. So here, in the vacant state and the dream state, you can see that the mind has popped up by now. And how can you come out of this? The only way is that proper knowledge has to be given to people, which is called samyak-jnanam. Samyak-jnanam. That is a word used in the Shastra. Samyak-jnanam. Samyak-jnanam means right understanding. Right understanding should be there about us. How will that come? That you have to develop in people that habit of developing the samyak-jnanam. That means, if you analyze it, you can see here that by proper analysis, in the light of Bhagavad Gita, you will know what has actually got real existence. Satta, isn't it? What is satta, what is asatta, you have to know first. And that is what Bhagavad Gita begins with, that verse, isn't it? Nasato vidyate bhava. Why did Krishna say that in the beginning itself? That unless you know that, all your other so-called education is all useless. It will create problems. That is why he is saying that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself. Nasato vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sada. Ubhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tatu darshavi. Rishis found out, if you are giving knowledge to somebody, that knowledge should benefit that person, not destroy him. Otherwise, it's better not to give the knowledge. Now what's happening is, we are giving knowledge, but it's actually destroying everybody. So instead, Rishi's point is, if you are giving knowledge to someone, that knowledge should only uplift him, not degrade him. If it is degrading him, then that knowledge should not be given. That is the principle. We teach chemistry very seriously, and they use it for making bombs after that. We teach chemistry and then we sell all the chemicals. Then we expect him to be like a Brahman and not to involve anything. How will that happen? He will buy these chemicals, he will make bombs at home and he will use them. So what was the use of your education? What was the idea in educating them? It's the same thing with all other weapons also. All our education is in the wrong directions. How to manufacture new weapons, how to develop new weapons, how to kill others. And then we are saying that, oh, he's educated, we are saying. What educated? This is what he's educated with all the wrong knowledge, isn't it? So, so similarly, that first thing Krishna says, that you have to know what is existing, what is satta and what is asatta. After that, all other education. So, that is what it is called, samyak-jnanam. Samyak-jnanam means this, that that right understanding first. This is real, the other one is not real. Body is not real, mind is not real. If you don't teach people these things, they will kill each other, and because they think body is real, that's why they are killing. And they will think that the land of birth is real, the world is real, everything is real. That's why this killing business goes on, isn't it? In the name of land, in the name of property, in the name of he is my enemy, because you are looking at somebody as you are on the bodily level. All these things comes. So first thing is to know what really exists. That is called satta. What that is called? Satta. Not to know that what does not exist. What does not exist. Because what does not exist will not disturb us or put us into distress. What does not exist will not put us into distress. They give the example that, they say that the rabbit's horn doesn't have, rabbits doesn't have any horn. So if you say the rabbits are going to fight with you with its horn, you don't have to be frightened, because rabbits doesn't have a horn. Or horses doesn't have a horn. So horses are not going to, horse never hit anybody with its horn, because horses doesn't have a horn. So so even though they don't exist, if you talk about that, it can give you disturbances. Or if you think that it exists, then it will give you trouble. Actually, what does not exist does not give you any trouble. So similarly, like the horses doesn't have the horns, rabbits doesn't have a horn. Similarly, we have accepted this world as real. This concept has gone too deeply inside us. Therefore, we have got problems. something that is not real. Krishna is saying it's not real. What did he say that in the seventh chapter in the Bhagavad Gita? He mentions there, Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti. He said, Aparaprakriti is not real. Aparayam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yedam dhajide jagat. Isn't it? Bhumirapanalo vayu, those verses. Kham mano buddhi evacha ahangara idiyame bhina prakriti ashtada. It is prakriti. All this is prakriti. World is five material elements and all that's come from the material elements. Mind, intelligence, false ego, that's all prakriti and that's not real. Krishna is starting with this education in the Bhagavad Gita. So, proper education, you don't need to study many books. But that has to be proper education. Bhagavad Gita is sufficient to proper study. Similarly, because these things in reality doesn't exist. And we are killing each other, fighting each other, thinking that this is all real. And the two people who are fighting each other, both of them are going from here after fighting. So what did they gain? Whoever has been fighting here? One puts a bomb on the other and he thinks that I won. Did he win? He is also going one day, the other one is also gone. So similarly, it's purely coming from the ragadvesham inside. That's coming there. Just like talking about ghosts, devils and things like that. If you say, ask the question, do they exist? Yes, it exists. If you tell us that, does it not exist? No, it doesn't exist. That's how it is. All these things are like that. If you give life to it, yes, it exists. But if you don't take it, they don't exist. If you believe that, they don't exist. To that extent, just it is like that, this world. If you ask, does the world exist? Yes, it exists. And if you say, the world does not exist, the world does not exist. In the same way. The mind inside us is also like that. The mind is also like that. You inquire about this mind, you will find the same thing. If you start try to find out where this mind is, and then you will know, does the mind exist? Manasam tu kim margane krite naiva manasam margam arjavat. Upadesha Saram. He says, Manasam tu kim margane krite naiva manasam margam arjavat. That means that if you start inquiring about the mind, where is the mind inside this package? Where exactly is it? You can't find it. Where exactly it is, isn't it? But we all say the mind is causing all the problems. That's the most interesting thing. We want to find out where it is, but we don't know where it is. Nobody knows where the mind is. And the mind is causing all the problems, we say. So, so if you have, because you have given validity to its existence. You have accepted that the mind is real. Therefore, and you have started segregating the mind with all its different problems. First of all, you gave the life to the mind. Such a thing called the mind existing inside. You have given the life to it. You nurtured it, you nourished it, and you brought it up, the mind, with all your thoughts behind it. It grew up and became a big thing. But that's because you have absorbed in that to that extent, right? So, and then what happens when problem comes? When problem comes, you start analyzing the mind like the psychiatrists and others do. And they start segregating the mind, saying that this is schizophrenia, this is some other mania, this is some other mania, this is this, this is this, this is. They start segregating this mind. And the more you segregate, more problems with this mind. That is what this psychiatry is doing, the greatest problem. It creates like this. That more and more making it complex. This thing called mind. Because mind is from the Shastram is saying to us, mind from their viewpoint is a kind of ignorance inside. It creates this illusion, Brahman. 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 Because of Brahman, the mind is born. You know what that Brahma means? Brahma means that we have these four defects in us, we say. Brahman, Pramadam, Vipralipsa, Karanapadava. That. Brahman, Pramadam, Vipralipsam, Karanapadava. That means that, that tendency to commit mistakes, propensity to cheat, to be imperfect senses, and to be under illusion. Karnavada means imperfect senses. So, Brahmam Pramadam Viparlipsam Karanapadam. Brahmam is the effect on the mind. Brahmam is the to be under illusion. To be under illusion. So, therefore, highly advanced jnanis, they will never waste their time trying to evaluate the mind. They do not. They won't waste their time to evaluate the mind. Somebody asked this question once to Ramana Maharshi, how to control the mind. Maharshi's answer was, if you realize yourself that there is no mind for you to control, then the problem is gone. Says, you see, something we don't even know where it exists and what it is doing. We don't know any idea about this mind. But people get so worked up about the mind, is it not? Mind overpowers. Too much, and you get more absorbed in that, it grows big. The mind grows. So if you realize yourself that there is no such thing called mind for you to control, then the problem is gone. Problem is finished. So one that which means that if you know yourself what you are, then there won't be mind. Only then the mind will go. Up to that point, the mind will play this game. Mind will play this game. So when you read all these things first time, you will see, is this all practical? You will start thinking, because we have lived with this mind for so long. That's where the difficulty is, isn't it? What we want is some technique to control this mind. That's what we are looking for, isn't it? Instead of telling us that if you give us some technique to how to control the mind, instead of doing that, if you keep telling us that, oh, you realize the self, you realize the self, said, how can that solve the problem? They will ask that question. People will ask that question. So, but if you get serious about this, you will know that it is more practical to do realize the self than going after the mind. Mind, you can play the game whole life. It won't happen. And it is the same control of the mind means that how to wipe this mind off from inside. In jnanam, bhakti, everything, that is the principle. In, you know this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? It's called the mano nirodham. How to wipe the mind off. Not to control the mind. Nirodham it is called. Nirodham means to block once for all. Not niyandranam. Nirodham it is. Because niyandranam is not possible. Controlling the mind is not possible. What you can do is to block the mind and to take it away from there. So, suppose you decided that mind exists. It's a mind that is giving me all the trouble. Mind is causing all the problem. If you start thinking like that, then the mind will be born and the mind will fight with you. That's the way the mind works. Once you have accepted that the mind exists, then that mind will be your enemy. Mind will be your enemy. You know in Ramayanam that famous story, Bali's story in the Ramayanam, is this to teach this principle to us. That Bali, Ramachandra went there, Sugriva took him there to fight with Bali. So Bali had a blessing from a sage that whoever fights with Bali, all your power will go to Bali. Bali will double his power. You will lose all your power and Bali will win. Isn't it? So, and afterwards Bali will beat this person who are gone to fight with Bali. And Bali will win and you will lose. This was happening all the time and Sugriva knew this. And Sugriva knew that Bali had this special power. And so Sugriva mentioned this to Ramachandra. That it is like this. That is why in Ramayanam you see Ramachandra was hiding behind a tree and shot the arrow. Because you can't fight with Bali directly. If you fight with Bali directly, Ramachandra's all power will go to Bali. Ramachandra will lose. So Ramachandra was hiding behind a tree and shooting the arrow towards Bali, not directly. So this mind is the Bali. Mind is the Bali. And if you say it exists, then itself the problem starts. So actually our identity is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That means that one Satyam, Purnada, Prajna, Bodham, Avabodham, that alone exists. Only the awareness is existing. And here, in reality, there is no mind, intelligence or ego, none of them. Because if they are all real, in the deep sleep state, it should have been there. But it's not there in the deep sleep. That is to prove to us, none of them are actually real. None of them are actually real. Mind is not real, intelligence is not real, ego is not real. None of them is real. And that is why in deep sleep state, none of them are existing. None of them are existing, isn't it? So not only that, all these four things, body, mind, intelligence and ego, they are not same all the time. It's continuously changing. So two things, in Sushupti they don't exist, and secondly, they are constantly changing. From these two things you can understand that they are not real. They are not real. The only thing is it's temporarily some illusion it's creating like that. So one devotee said this to a sannyasi, he told him this, that I cannot control my anger. He said, I cannot control my anger. How do I control that? So the sannyasi asked him, when did you get angry? He said, when did you get angry? He said, yesterday morning at 9 o'clock I got very angry. He said, so what time is it now? He said, now it's 10 o'clock today. Morning 10 o'clock. He said, so how long did the anger last? Sannyasi asked him. He said, about 5 minutes. But intensely for about 2 or 3 minutes. I was very angry for 2 or 3 minutes. But lasted for about 5 minutes and then it's gone. So, a phenomenon which has happened for 2 or 3 minutes. For 2 or 3 minutes. Which is not real. It has come and gone. It has come and gone. And now 24 hours after that, you are keeping it in your memory. That's this is how everything is. That you got so angry yesterday morning at 9 o'clock for 5 minutes. And today morning at 10 o'clock you are remembering that yesterday at 9 o'clock I got angry for 2 or 3 minutes. And now I am not feeling that at all. It's all gone because you slept in the deep sleep in the night. All this has been wiped out from the slate. But in the memory you have kept it and so it's there. And keeping it alive now of what happened yesterday morning at 9 o'clock in your memory now, it's called Maya. It's called Maya. That is Maya. Maya's ways of doing things with us. So Maya is saying to you that you got angry and you say, yeah, I got angry. You also keep repeating that. And that incident will last for some days sometimes. So, and something has happened inside. It is Maya's work that is. She has done that. And we don't know that. So therefore, we get upset about why did I get angry? Why did I do this? You remember in Lalita Sahasranamam, for every emotion is spoken as the appearance of Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati is taking birth every moment. Every emotion comes up inside us. Krodha Rubiniye Namaha. Sri Parvati is called anger. In the form of anger she is called. And my obeisances to her for that. Krodha Rubiniye Namaha. And all the other verses. Yadevi, so many verses. Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Krodha Rubena Samstita. In all living entities in the form of anger, who is situated? Namastasmai, 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 Namo Namaha. I pay my obeisances again and again. Similarly, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Kshutharubena Samsida, in the form of hunger. Because she is doing all these things with this body, what can you do? She creates hunger, thirst, hankering, lamentation, ragam, dvesham. She creates this, all this inside us. That is why Maya's influence is inside and outside, everywhere inside this body. She is controlling it so tight in everything, is it not? So, there you will see that for some purpose that anger had come and it has gone. After that it has gone. But that it is over. That if you know that it is a manifestation of that Maya or Prakriti, then it will not affect you so much. But if you start taking it as your own and you start based working on that, develop hate and future problems with others, then you will suffer from that. But actually, Prakriti or Maya, she controls us through all these different things. Ragadvesham and hanker and lamentation, hunger and thirst. That's why in those prayers, if you look, there's a number of emotions mentioned there. All that is created by Prakriti inside us. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu nidrarubena samsthita. She puts the sleep also to us. She decides when we should sleep, isn't it? Say, after hearing Vedantam for 10 or 15 minutes, she says, now you can sleep. Because you can't handle it, she knows that. So what she does say, she says, go. Nidra Ruvena Samstida. She is the one who is doing this. Because Vedantam is not affecting you, what to do? You are still thinking, you are still remaining in your own spiritual world, wherever that is. Planning to Vaikuntham and Golokam and all other places to go after leaving the body. So some other concept inside is telling, this is all useless. I got my own understanding. I'll go with that. I'll go for it. So that time she says to you, in the mind some thoughts like that comes, then Nidra Rubena Samstida tells you sleep now, as long as you want. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Nidra Rubena Samstida. Namastase, 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 namo nama. Obeisances to you, obeisances to you, obeisances to you for doing all these favors to us. So, all emotions, this is not the only one. Every emotion is like, if you study Devi Bhagavatam, it will tell you the whole list, hundreds of them, saying and paying obeisances to Sri Parvati for this. For Sri Parvati, when we say it's Maya, Prakriti, how she is doing it to us every moment, isn't it? So, but when you know that it is Prakriti who is doing that, if you keep on thinking that I am doing this, you will never be able to come out of her grip. If you don't recognize that, you will never be able to come out of her grip, isn't it? So, that is that Prakriti is doing this and this is our Swabhavam inside us, isn't it? That's why it's called Prakritya Swabhavam. Prakritya Swabhavam means that Swabhavam that you have acquired from Prakriti. From Prakriti. You will never be able to come out of it. The whole lifetime you will be keep on fighting and arguing about it. Arguing, quarreling about it. So they say that if you don't recognize all these things, it will be like the cat which want to become vegetarian. A cat wanted to become vegetarian. You know that story we mentioned before. That went to a sannyasi and asked a sannyasi, that sannyasi told, is vegetarian. So sannyasi told the cat, if you are living in this ashram, in my ashram, you have to be a vegetarian, he said. So the cat told the sannyasi, how do I become a vegetarian? He says, you don't eat the mice and the rats and all that, don't eat them, then you are okay. I will give you some nice vegetables every day to eat and some milk to drink. Be satisfied and live like me, how I am living here. And then you can live in the ashram. I have no problem, he said. So the cat said, but I can't stop eating them. He said, but I'll give you a mantra, you start chanting every day, he says to the rat. So, alright, he said, like our 16 rounds, he was given 16 rounds by the cat. He says, to the cat, by the sannyasi. Sannyasi told the cat to chant every day the same mantra and continuously chant till he come out of it, he said. The cat said, yeah, I'll do that. So his cat started chanting. Ahu naham bhakshyami. Some kind of mantra he was created and given. I will not eat any rats. I won't eat any rats. I won't eat any rats. That's what it means. He's sitting there and with his eyes closed and is repeating this mantra. Sannyasi was walking back and forth. He saw, he's serious. in his meditation, he's chanting his rounds very well. The sannyasi thought like that. And suddenly, and then sannyasi went back to his room and he was sitting there. Suddenly he heard some noise from the next room. Gur, 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 it was coming from the... He's chanting also, this noise is coming from there. So sannyasi goes up to the cat and asking him, what happened? Where did some noise coming from here? He said, I don't know, he said. I was just chanting and suddenly I saw something going to the front of me. I just took it and put it in my mouth, he said. I didn't know what I had taken in. Something was going through, I just took it and put it in my mouth. So similarly, here also, whatever Prakriti is doing its own way. If you impose that on the Purusha, on the self inside, that is our greatest difficulty. That's why we are suffering. That we are not doing this. Anger, lust, greed, all other things is coming from Prakriti. It's not coming from the self. Self is not the responsible for any of these things. And without knowing, and similarly, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, all these three states also, just like we have misunderstood the rope as the snake, similarly, in our pure consciousness, these three states are also false. They are falsely existing in our awareness. In our pure existence, pure consciousness, they don't exist. But we are experiencing now. Why? Because everything that the Prakriti is putting on us, we are accepting it as ours. So remember when we started this verse, we mentioned that problem is begins with identification. When you identify with everything, you will have to accept everything that identity brings. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, if you think that's yours, then also it's a problem. Actually, it is not our problem. It is not in us. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep does not exist in us. Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam very clearly. Is it not? That if you remember Bhagavatam, when you study every verse, you have to go through it very deeply, because those things, Krishna just put it in two words and finished it. Didn't say anything more than that. Look at that, what Krishna says there. When we are talking to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, jagral sopna sushuptim cha nivarta gunavrtayoho sakshal vilakshano diva sakshitvena vinischira. I think it is in the 14th chapter, 11-14. Somewhere in that. Jagral sapna sushuptim cha. Which one? 13:27. Krishna is saying, Jagral sapna sushuptam cha gunado buddhi vrtaya. So, vacant state, dream state and deep sleep is in the buddhi. Buddhi vrtti it is. Not atma, not the soul. It's nothing to do with the soul. Tasam vilakshano jiva. Therefore, jiva is vilakshanam, is separate from that. Sakshitvena vinischita. That we are separately from that. Vilakshano jiva. Here, when Krishna says jiva, you have to remember that it is referring to the Atma. They are not separate. Atma and jiva is not separate at that point. Tasam vilakshano jiva, sakshitvena vinischita. He is only a sakshi there. Atma is only a sakshi for these three states what we are. And these three states is our life in this world. Is it not? We are in one of these three states all the time. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So Krishna is saying, these three states, Swapnam, Sushupti, Jagrat, Gunado, Buddhi, Vrtaya. It is the activities of Buddhi. It is in the Buddhi. When Krishna says Buddhi here, you have to remember that it also covers the whole subtle body. That's the way it is to be understood. Tasam vilakshano diva sakshitvena vinischita. Then he is saying few more things there. Yarhi samsrati bandhoyam atmano guna vrtida mai turiyesthido jahyal tyagastal guna chetasam. Similarly, when we started that chapter, what did Krishna says? Sattvam rajasthamaiti guna buddher na cha atmana. First verse, if you look into that chart. Krishna says there that the three modes of material nature, they are also not in the self. They are in the buddhi. And here, so goodness, passion, ignorance, these things don't exist in the self. They exist in the buddhi. Sattvam rajasthamaiti guna buddher na atmana. Does not exist in the soul. And now Krishna is saying, Jagral Satna Sushuptamcha Gunado Buddhi Vrtaya. These three states of existence comes from the three modes of nature. From Sattvagunam comes vacant state, from Rajogunam comes dream state, and Tamogunam comes deep sleep. Those three states also is in the Buddhi. So earlier he said, Sattvam Rajasthama Idi Guna Buddherna Chalpana Sattvena Anyadamo Hanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chaivahi. Unless you come out of the three modes of nature, you won't know who you are. You won't know who you are. And now, these three states, Krishna is saying the same thing. Ahangara kritam bandham, altmano artha vipadyayam, vidvan nurvidya samsara chindam turiye sthidastya jen. Yavan anartha deepam so, na nivarteda yuktibhi, jagartya bisopanajnya sotne jagaranam yathaha. Asatvadatmano anyesham bhavanam talkrida abhida gadayohedavaschasya mursha sapnadrisho yatha. All these verses, which is the Hamsa Gita, it's actually the Hamsa Gita. So if you want to go through those verses, go back to the previous classes, which is on the web. So the same thing here, that Jagra Sapnam Sushupti, Krishna is saying they are not real. In your Swarupam, it doesn't exist. And like the way you have mistaken the rope as the snake, similarly in your pure consciousness, they are imposed, superimposed on the consciousness. They are not real. Imposed. It is imposed on them, which means it will go. It cannot stay. Anything that is imposed cannot stay. It cannot stay. So that's one important thing. So that means from this you can understand that there is another state which does not belong to any of these three. This is the logic behind that. That Krishna's words, if you have accepted, there is no problem. That we are taking this vacant state, dream state, deep sleep as real. They are not real. They are not real. This is the difficulty. So, like in the mirage, you find the water, you are looking for, you think that it exists, but it doesn't exist. Actually, there is only consciousness exist. Only consciousness exists. And it is in that consciousness, the mind, the intelligence, the body, everything exists. In the consciousness it comes. And then we think that I am a man, I am a woman, and vyakti abhimanam. Another word, vyakti bhodam. I am a personality that is imposed on that. First, in the awareness, the mind, the ego, the body, and then I'm a man, I'm a woman, all these things will, vyakti bhoda, ahankaram also will come. And in that, after that, you are thinking in terms of childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, all these things are continuously coming one after the other. But when all these things are happening, without any change, and totally unaffected, there is one vastu staying inside. And that is, and that awareness, from beginning to end, even after leaving the body, it remains completely untouched by the modes of nature, untouched by the three states of existence, untouched by the body, mind, intelligence and false ego, and it continued to exist even after that. That is the next verse.
Balyadishu abhijagradadishu tatha sarvasu avasthasu api vyavrittasu anuvartamanam ahamityatta atyandaspurandam sada vyavrittasu anuvartamanam ahamityatta ahamityandaspurandam sada svatmanam prakatikarodi bhajadam yo bhadraya mudraya tasmai shri gurumurtaye nama idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. బాల్యాదిష్వీ జాగ్రదాదిషు తర్వాస్వస్థాస్వీ వ్యావృత్తను వర్తమానమహమిత్యందస్ఫురందం సదా స్వాత్మానం ప్రకటీకరోతి భజతాం యో భద్రయా ముద్రయా తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమ ఇదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. బాల్యాదిషు జాగ్రదాదిషు సర్వాసు అవస్థాసు
ఫ్రమ్ ది సాధనా పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ వ్యూ ఇన్ దిస్ హోల్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం దిస్ ఈస్ ద వర్డ్స్ కీ వర్డ్స్ దట్ ఎర్లియర్ వి సా వన్ వర్డ్స్ ఎస్యైవ స్ఫురణం థర్డ్ వర్డ్స్ ఐ థింక్ ఎస్యైవ స్ఫురణం సదాత్మకం అసల్ కల్పార్థకం భాసదే సాక్షాల్ తత్వమసీది వేదవజస యో బోధయత్యాశ్రదన్ ద వర్డ్స్ త్రీ యస్ సాక్షాత్కరణాల్ భవేన్న పునరావృతిర్ భవాంభో నిదౌ తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమ ఇదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. దట్ వర్డ్స్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఇంపార్టెంట్ అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఇంపార్టెంట్ బికాస్ దీస్ టూ వర్సెస్ ఈస్ పాయింటింగ్ అవుట్ ఓన్లీ టు ద ట్రూత్. ఆల్ అదర్ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ negating it, isn't it? Like, for example, first verse is saying what the world is. That's not us. We have nothing to do with the world. And then first two verses, it's spoken like that. And then the other verses also. It says, బాల్యాదిషువి జాగ్రదాదిషు. బాల్యాదిషు మీన్స్ బాల్యం ఆన్వర్డ్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్. బాల్యం, కౌమారం, యౌవనం, వార్ధక్యం, ఫోర్ స్టేజెస్. బాల్యం ఈస్ చైల్డ్హుడ్, బాయ్హుడ్, యూత్హుడ్, ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్. బాల్యాదిషు బాల్యం, కౌమారం, యౌవనం, వార్ధక్యం. దెన్ జాగ్రదాదిషు. జాగ్రదాదిషు మీన్స్ జాగ్రత్త, స్వప్నం, సుషుప్తి. జాగ్రదాదిషు సర్వాసు అవస్థాసు. Then in all these three states, different emotions are created within us, isn't it? So, vyavrtasu, he says there, balyadishubh jagradadishu tada sarvasu avastasvabhi vyavrtasu anuvartavanam ahamatyandas purandam sada. There, that, when vyavrtasu means, one coming one after the other, changes and it keeps, something else keeps coming. That is the nature of all these things. All of them. Body, mind, intelligence and all that. If you look, you will see that they change and something new comes, isn't it? Something new comes. Continuously changing. For example, the body what we had when we were small children, that body is not there anymore. That's gone. Now we are in one body, and this body also won't be there after a while. This will also go. So body is continuously changing. So that is why it is said like that. Vyavrtasu changing. Vyavrtasu means continuous change. Keep changing all the time. Body is continuously changing. Mind also same thing. Intelligence also same thing. Ahankaram also same thing. Constantly changing, isn't it? Continuously changing. Anuvartamanam, that means, but when all these changes are happening in us, he, awareness inside, totally unaffected by all these changes, he remains as it is, without any change. He cannot be touched by any change. And that awareness in us, which is andaspuranam sada, always that spurana, that sends out that spurana, or what we spoke yesterday about that awareness, it's coming out from inside. Yes, aham aham, that pratnya swatmanam prakatikaroti. And swatmanam prakatikaroti means Dakshinamurti inside, he himself is releasing that awareness from inside, and that is coming out and spreads everywhere, our awareness, isn't it? So, why it is spoken like that? That Dakshinamurti
when it is spoken in the Bhagavadam, you will see there, he has this Chin Mudra holding this. It is the mudra in the Mantra Shastram. The Chin Mudra is the indication of the oneness of the Jivatma and Paramatma. That. So Chin Mudra, that, and keeping that in the perspective, Acharya is saying here, that Vyavrutta Sanivartamanam Ityandaspirandam Sada Swalpmanam, that is what that word, Swalpmanam Prakadi Karodi Bhajadam Yo Badraya Mudraya. That mudra, Chin Mudra, is what is shown by Dakshinamurti in his yoga state, when he is silently giving, teaching the Kumaras the knowledge of the soul. Remember earlier we said in the Bhagavadam those verses, that Tarka Mudraya, it says, if you look into the fourth canto, you will see there mentioned, what's that mudra referring to in the 14th, in the let me see. Yeah, Tarkamudra. That is 4:6:38. Krutvarau dakshine savyam padavatmam jajanuni bahum pragoshte achamala asinam tarkamudraya. Those verses from 33 onwards, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, it's all about Dakshinamurti. 4:6:33 to 38 is Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurti is yoga state. He is in the yoga state instructing the Kumaras. Kumaras, Sri Narada Maharshi, or the Kumaras are taking instructions from Lord Shiva or Dakshinamurti at that time. And also 39-40 also refers to that. 40 and 41 also. But we spoke about that before. That Bahum Pragoshte Akshamala Asinam Tarkamudraya. Tarkamudra is this Chin Mudra referring here. So that mudra, that's what he is saying here. Swalpmanam prakati karodi bhajadam yo badraya mudraya. That mudra of mudra, Chin Mudra. And that is also Chideva Mudra, Chin Mudra. That Chitsarubam, Chitshakti. That is that mudra. And that is dancing inside all of us in the form of this awareness. Aham, aham, aham. All the time. And it is a dance of that, the steps, that's what we are hearing all the time. Tuk, tuk, tuk. The dancing or the Chin Mudra or Takamudra with which Natarajas dance inside, and that sound is what we are hearing outside in the form of tuk, 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 tuk. It's always the sound of the dance inside. What's going on of this awareness is dance. So, that Yogadraya Mudraya Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So, Balya means when you are very little. Kaumara means, say, from 5 to 16 years, that age group is Kaumara. Yavana means after 16 years. And old age, you can start any time. It can start anywhere from 35. People are old at 35, and some people are not old at 65 also. So what can you say? Where does old age start? I don't know where to start. Say that, isn't it? You don't know where to... When do you say somebody is old? Some people are old even very young. They are old. And some people are not old even when they are old. Bodily they may be old, but still young. Anyway, on a number basis you can say, up to say 5 is Balyam, 5 to 16 is Kaumaram, and 16 to... onwards up, say 35 or so, Yavanam, and then after that it's all Vardhakyam, when the body starts dwindling, going away, isn't it? So these things, Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam, they keep coming one after the other. They keep coming one after the other. For example, yesterday's child is tomorrow's an old man. Tomorrow is an old man. Nothing will stay here. Nobody can. We were thinking that, oh, we will always remain, everybody else will get old.
But now when you look back, you are laughing yourself that we have all become old, and when you go to the temple, they say, oh, he's an old man. Now, he needs a chair. Somebody gives you a chair to sit. So the new generation is thinking that they are the ones, they won't get old. The new generation is thinking they will never get old. But after a while, say 20, 30 years, you go and look at them, you'll say they will be looking for the chair. Somebody else will be their children or grandchildren will be offering the chair to them to sit. So nothing will stay here. Only thing is you can keep on looking at it. What is going on? And that's all you can do. You can't do anything more than that, isn't it? So the child which is born today, after a few days, say 10 or 15 years old, when it comes to that, it starts wearing its trousers and shirt and everything and start wandering. And the same person, after a while, you see, look at him, his whole hair has gone grey, all the teeth has gone, and he's struggling to walk, everywhere pain in the body, all these things. So, all these changes is happening in the body, one after the other. Whether it's man or woman, it's the same thing. It's no different. Then what we do, we put dye in the hair and try to make it as long as possible to keep it black and to show to the others, we are not that old as you think about me. Or I have cheated you with my dye. Or I put some clothes in such a way that I give an impression to them that I'm not that old, you know, what you think about me. So this is, and say for example, all these changes that's happening, Balyam Kaumaram Yavanam Vardakyam, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, all these things are not in our control. It is in the Prakriti's control. So from there we have to know that they don't exist in me. They don't exist in me. That is what the point here. That I am thinking it's all happening to me. If you are thinking like that, you are in the bodily concept of life at that time. You are in the bodily concept of life. If you are just thinking like that, oh, I'm getting old, I'm becoming, and these statements all, it's a reflection of that. So, when you get, say, about 90, suppose you make it, if you get that far, and at the age of 90, you take a photograph of yours from the album and look at it. If you have kept your photos from the childhood, and you look at that photo, how will that be? When you look at that photo. even now, there is not even one cell that was in the body when you were a child at this moment. That's all gone, isn't it? Every single cell has gone. So when you were 1 year old, and that little child who had the cells, all of them has gone and new cells have come. And even the new cells, how many times? Science is saying every 7 years all the cells go and new cells appear. And equally, so as far as body is concerned, practically you can say, even in this lifetime, suppose you are 60 years old, at least you have changed your body about six to seven times. At least you have changed your body. Completely you have changed. Like Lord Jagannath gets a body change, isn't it? Every 14 years or 12 years in Jagannath Puri. This year they had a change, body change. Jagannath didn't change, body changed. So similarly, we are changing this every 6 years or 7 years, we are changing this body. And that mind what we had when we were 1 year old, that mind is also not there. It's also changed, so much it has changed. Intelligence, not to talk about. Intelligence has changed so much. In 1 year, what you were thinking, or 10 years, what you were thinking and making decisions, you won't make that decision today anymore. Is it not? Because after living in this world so many years, you have understood a lot about this, that you don't want to make any decision. Old age, that's what finally happens. You don't make any decisions at the end. It will happen like that. So that innocence which was there is not there, and freshness in the childhood, all of them has gone away from our face, from our face. Then we are showing our photo to others and saying, that's me. This photo is me. I'm saying to others. I'm saying to everybody else, this photo is, that's me. We say to others, isn't it? And so what is there in me then and now? What is that I'm saying, that's me? So body has changed, mind has changed, buddhi, intelligence has changed, everything has changed. Not only that, Many other things have changed in the body. I can't even see properly anymore. To that extent, the eyes have gone and other things have happened. And after a while, the person himself is missing. It's gone from this world. From this world. And then our children will say, look, my granddad was like this when he was 1 year old. We are saying this to somebody else, isn't it? So, but one thing is there. That person who was inside that body when he was 1 year old, is that's the same person who is here inside at 90 years also. It's the same person who is saying that and who is saying this. The person who is speaking at that time and person is speaking now, that person hasn't changed. Bodham. It comes from the Bodham. No change at all. And this point, we have to analyze it very well, all the time. It's all a part of the spiritual growth. Otherwise, there won't be any growth in spiritual life. Analyzing all these things and constantly reflecting on that. That everything is changing. Body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing. And what is that then I am? Asking this question backwards. So, so who was there in the, at 1 year old, who was there in the photograph, and in the childhood, that whoever was there in that photo, in that person, and is the same person saying at the age of 90 also, through this body, that I am there. That anubhavam, or life principle, remains changeless. He remains changeless. Who? That person who is saying this remains changeless. Body changed, mind changed, intelligence changed, and even the sleeping pattern has changed. 1 year old child, how deeply it sleeps. Is it not? So even the plane of sleep has changed. At 60 onwards you start complaining, more or less. I'm not getting good sleep. Or you wake up 10 times during the sleep at night. So, you couldn't even sleep today like the way you slept when you were 1 year old. Because everything has changed, but that person who was there in 1 year, when you were 1 year, that person without any change is here in this body as well, when he was there in 1 year old. Isn't it? Only thing is, the taste has not changed of that experience. Awareness, its taste hasn't changed. There also it was aham awareness, and that is the same aham now awareness. You are not changing that I am. What, when you were saying a little boy, you were saying I am, that I am is the same I am now. I am has not changed. Similarly, he says here, jagrat svapna sushuptishu, jagradadishu. In the vacant state, there is body, there is mind, and I am there. Isn't it? I am there. Ahankaram is there. I am there. Body is there, mind is there, ahankaram is there. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, ahankaram is there. In the deep sleep, body is not there, mind is not there, ahankaram also not there, but awareness is there. That is the differences between these three states. First of all, to recognize that these three states are not in us. It's not in us. As Krishna says that in that Hamsa Gita. That's what he said. Very, very precisely Krishna defined. Jagral supna sushuptam cha nivritto buddhivrtaya gunado buddhivrtaya sakshal vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischita. First point. Sattvam rajastama idi gunam buddhirna chalpmana. From those two verses you can understand, three modes of material nature creates these three states. And none of them, neither the modes of nature nor these three states exist in the self. They don't exist in the self. That's the first understanding. Then we are analyzing the three states. What happening in the three states? In the vacant state, body is there, mind is there, I am there. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is not there, I am there. In the deep sleep state, body is not there, mind is not there, I am there. So I am always existing. I means awareness. Bodham is always existing. But in the personality form, ahankaram form, false ego form, that I am not there. But in the form of jiva, which is reflection of the Atma, that I am there. Ahankaram is there, jiva is there, both are there. Real jnan, real I am, that exists there in sushupti states. So, when the body is there, when the mind is there, I am there. When the body and the mind goes away, and when the personality also goes away, I am there. So therefore, I can understand that I am not the body, I am not the mind, none of them. I am none of them. And even in the deep sleep state, whoever was present there as I am, and whoever was present there in the deep sleep state as I am, if you can get that experience into awakened state, that is called self-realization. That's called self-realization. Whatever you are experiencing in the deep sleep state as awareness, who is experiencing that awareness? That I am, if you can bring that into awakened state, it is called self-realization. So, sushupti state, who has, in the absence of the body and the mind, enjoyed happiness in the sushupti state, and whose identity at that time was only happiness and bliss, was his identity, that awareness in the vacant state, when there is false ego and the mind is everything there, when they are existing at the same time, if you have identified its existence behind it, then that is called self-realization. I'll repeat once again that sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, when there was no body, body wasn't there, mind wasn't there, in their absence, I was there. Because, why? I'm saying that because when I woke up, what do I say? I enjoyed. So that means I was there. I was there. I was enjoying that deep sleep state, isn't it? So that bliss, what I experienced in the deep sleep, that is my form in the deep sleep. That's my form in the deep sleep. And that means the awareness was nothing but bliss. Nature of the awareness was bliss. Happiness and bliss, isn't it? So, Satta, Chitta, Anandam. That Chit Shakti, Anandam. Both were there in the deep sleep state. It is in the form of bliss and knowledge. Bliss and knowledge in the deep sleep state. But that awareness, if it comes to awakened state, in the same way as you experienced in the deep sleep, if it comes to awakened state, but the difference is, in the awakened state, body is there, mind is there, and ego is also there. Body is there, mind is there, ego is there. But when they are all there, this experience in the deep sleep state, what you had, if it is still there and showing its power to us, like the way it showed us in the deep sleep state, then it is called self-realization. Now, when we realize the self, does not mean that mind, intelligence, everything will disappear. It may still be there due to prarabdham. Due to prarabdham, body will be there. Body won't go. And because body will be there, sometimes the mind will operate. And ego also will sometimes operate. But overriding the body, the mind, the intelligence and the ego, the self will operate in front of all. It will override. Self will override all the other things. They will still be there, but self will override. In other words, instead of identifying with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, we will identify with the self. That's what will happen. So, nischalam adhishthanam. That's called adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means the basis, isn't it? So, that adhishthanam is called Dakshinamurti here in this verse. In this verse. Svalmanam pragadi karodi bhajadam yobhadraya mudraya tasmai shri gurumurtaye namayidam shri dakshinamurtaye. Svalpanam prakadi karodi bhajadam yobadraya mudraya. So, this another name for Dakshinamurti is Vamadeva. Vamadeva. It's also a great saint by name Vamadeva. And Vamam Dakshinam. There are two ways also. Similarly, in the spiritual terminology, if your Shraddha is external, going to the world outside, then Bahirdrashti, he is called Vamamurti. And if it is inward looking, going inwards, then it is Dakshinamurti. That is how it is. If it is going outwardly, it is called Vamamurti. If it is going inwards, it is called Dakshinamurti. It is called Dakshinamurti. So, Balyadishu Balyadishwabi Jagradadishu Tatha Sarva Swavastha Swabi Vyavrutta Sanu Vartamana Ahamityandas Purandam Sada Svalpanam Prakati Karodi Bhajadam Yo Bhadraya Mudraya Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. Now, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a personality called Naragasura. You know Naragasura. This Naragasura is a representation of ego, false ego, Ahangaram. Ahangaram is Naragasura. Ahangaram is Naragasura. So, when Ahangaram goes away from us, then the knowledge or the light or the Atma will shine. Only when the Ahangaram goes away. That means when that Jiva side is completely disappears from inside. So, this is where, and that is what is called Deepavali. Diwali is that. Deepam is lamp, isn't it? A combined a set of lamps, isn't it? So, when every Jiva, the principle behind Deepavali is this. When a collection of Jivas together, if every Jiva becomes realized, the self realized, or knowledge is developed inside, then that is called Deepavali. This is only a symptom, what we do, lighting the lamps and putting it outside, but inside is full of ignorance. That's not Deepavali. Actual Deepavali is that collectively in everyone, the knowledge of the self comes out. That means once the Ahangaram is gone, from inside Atma comes out with its full knowledge. So, body is considered to be the lamp, and inside this body, the oil is the vasana. Vasana inside us is the oil. And Ahangaram is the wick of the lamp. Body is the lamp, vasana is the oil, Ahangaram is the wick. And what's the spiritual master, what does he do? He sets fire to the wick, which is completely immersed in the vasana. Then what do we have to do? He sets lamp, and when the vasanas are all dried, that means when the oil is completely finished, then the lamp gets finished, isn't it? So, what do we have to do? We don't have to do anything. We have to stay quiet. That means, if you have not, when it dies, if you have not set fire, if you have not poured more oil into it, or if you have not allowed the, because wick will die out eventually. You'll see after a while, the wick will die in every lamp, isn't it? The wick will die. So, if you don't put a new wick there, or if you don't put more oil into it, then naturally that oil will dry up and this Ahangaram will die. It's the Ahangaram is the wick. Oil is the vasana. So, if you don't add any more fresh vasanas, And if you don't again help the wick to come out, the wick will also die, the vasanas, the ahankaram will die, vasanas will also die. And in the vedhiregam, anvaya vedhiregam, in the vedhiregam form, we are seeing this lamp and saying there ahankaram goes away and vasana has also gone away, vasanakshayam. Then what will remain there is, there will be very stable thing. It will be nothing there. It is absolute peaceful state. Absolutely peaceful state. Lamp means what? For example, when Lord Buddha, he was leaving his body, he was 82 years old. 82 years old. It's called Mahanirvana. Mahanirvana. So, one disciple of Buddha, Lord Buddha's one famous disciple, about 40 years he spent serving Lord Buddha with him, continuously looking after him, providing everything, whatever he required. And he lived with him, Buddha, this 40 years in his life. And he's also related to Buddha. He's a cousin, Buddha's cousin. And it's a disciple, Ananda is his name. Ananda is his name. So, Buddha realized the truth, and after that, then after he has realized, self-realization happened to Buddha, when he was coming to Kapilavastu, to the town of Kapilavastu, he was traveling there, many other people who were in his family joined him. And along with them, Ananda was also there, traveling with Buddha, who was traveling to Kapilavastu. Ananda says to Buddha at that time, he said to Lord Buddha, he says to him, I have a prayer for you, I have a prayer to make, he said. That the thing is that I want to serve you for the rest of the life. I alone want to serve the rest of the life. And I will be with you all the time. And everything what you require or what you want me to do, if you just tell me, I'll do it myself, he said. That's my only prayer, he said. And and suppose if I bring somebody and bring him to you at any other time in the future and wake you up and tell you that please bless him or please and if I request you in that way and you may have to do that, he says to Buddha. Buddha says to him, Buddha agreed with that. Buddha agreed, said, okay. Because these are the two things he asked. He said, one thing that I will serve you whole life, rest of the life. I may bring somebody later and if I request you to give some mercy to them, you should do that. He pleaded to Buddha. Buddha said, both these things I agree. I agree with you. Then he told him that you should not put any conditions in front of the spiritual master. Buddha says to Ananda, you can't put any conditions in front of the spiritual master. Because you have kept this condition in front of me, then that will be your greatest block. It will be your greatest block. So, Ananda, because of this, after this conversation, Ananda stayed with him for the rest of the life, till the last minute. For everything, Ananda was with him. And finally, at the time of liberation, Nirvana time, Buddha left this body at that time. This experience many people had. What was that? That whatever Buddha has spoken, what does realization mean, self-realization, that experience, what Buddha was talking about, that taste of that experience many people experienced in the Buddha's camp. Many people experienced the Buddha camp. And Anand was watching this every day. That many other disciples of Buddha. Buddha was a very powerful personality. You have to remember that. That as Krishna is another incarnation, isn't it? The 10 incarnations is mentioned like that. So, Anand was observing this change in the people. Everybody feeling the same experience of liberation in them. So, just before the Mahasamadhi happened, or the samadhi state happened, a young person came to Lord Buddha and he sat next to Buddha for some time, and after a while he started experiencing the self-realization within himself and crying with the experience of the happiness of the bliss inside of the soul. Afterwards he left from there. And after seeing this, Anand could not bear that. Anand says to Buddha, held Lord Buddha's feet and told him like this, "This boy has come only yesterday, 17-year-old boy, and as soon as he has come here, he has such an enthusiasm and he had come here, but he has left this place carrying that realization with him. And and why is that? It has not happened to me yet." Anand is saying this. Anand is saying this. So that is where we have to understand. In some cases, some people are completely ready for liberation, for mumukshatvam. It's called mumukshatvam. Mumukshu. Mumukshu means that they want it so much, this thing. And when they are ready for that, they when they come to realize the souls, they will meet the realized souls and they will carry it with them when they leave. When they leave, they will carry it with them. So, among the Buddha's disciples, there are names mentioned there, major disciples who have all had reached this state, Sariputras and so many others. So, our Anand was saying that 40 years he has served him, 24 hours I have served you, and I have not got even a slightest taste of that, even indication of that, and I am doing everything what I can for you and I am serving you, but I didn't get it. Anand said this. At that time Buddha says to Anand, what did Buddha say to Anand? "Anand, the mistake you have done, you kept on looking after my body." Many of us do the same mistake. In the name of spiritual master, you go after the spiritual master's body. Buddha says to Anand that it is true that you have served me, but you are serving my body. You are serving my body. And that was the mistake. So what happened? All identification was on the body. What you should have got from Lord Buddha, you didn't get it. This Anand who served him 40 years with him, he didn't get what you should have got from him. And others have come, got it and gone away. They left. What you have to get from the spiritual master, you have to know this first. If you look for these things, then you will get this. If you want to serve the body and get the bodily relationship growing and bodily understanding, that is what happens all the time. Including Arjuna had this problem, what to talk about others. But Arjuna very quickly came out of it because Bhagavad Gita has been planted inside very well. So it worked for him. In spiritual life, these things are important because when we, in organizations, this problem is very prominent, very powerful. Somebody will start doing this and we think that is the way. And we follow the same, doing the same mistake. We go after the body, not knowing what he had told us to do. What he wants us to do, what we want us to realize, that we won't take notice of. We say, "Oh, he is very merciful. I have served him 40 years, he will take care of everything. We have left it to him to do all that." That does not work always. That doesn't work. It's not possible. Nobody can hand over self-realization to you like that in a cup. You cannot do that. You may say this, but sometimes due to our own ajnanam, avidya, or ignorance in us, and due to others' ajnanam, it will all turn out like that. That's what he's saying here also, that you never listen to anything. I was teaching all the time to everybody. Anand won't listen. Anand was busy making sure that when does Lord Buddha wants his meal, or arranging the bed for him. More like a servant he was operating. This is not what Buddha wanted. Buddha wanted him to take the message seriously and develop that. The knowledge and the power of that realization what Buddha had, that it did not benefit him because his attention was always on Buddha's body. Same mistake happens all the time. That so careful one has to be. Because when we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the message is there, a very powerful message from Krishna. And Krishna did exactly the same thing to Arjuna. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, initially Arjuna was talking in terms of bodily relationships, is it not? That I have my teachers there looking at their body, I have my relations there fighting for the war, I do not want to fight with them. All this is coming from that ignorance of the body. Ignorance of the body. Arjuna thought the same thing, and that is when Krishna blasted him, did he not? He said, Prajñāvādāṁśa bhāṣase gadāsūna gadāsūṁśa nāni śocanti pandidāha. Isn't it? That famous words. With that one word, Krishna has cut Arjuna's throat straight away. Told him, don't talk anymore, he said. Remember that words? Ashocyan anyashocastvam prajñāvādāṁśa bhāṣase. Prajñāvādāṁ, this is called prajñāvādāṁ. Prajñāvādāṁ, well, like a learned person you are talking, but you don't know anything. Ashocyan anyashocastvam prajñāvādāṁśa bhāṣase gadāsūna agadāsūṁśa nāni śocanti pandidāha. You are not learned, you are an ignorant man, fool you are, he is saying to Arjuna. And that is the same thing. Spiritual master expects the disciple to pick up the message seriously, not offering him all the menial services of the body. Because he himself, spiritual master himself knows he is not the body, but you are making him to realize that you are the body. That's what the disciple does. Instead of spiritual master knows he is not the body, but disciple is reminding him that you are the body by this kind of service to him. He does not want that. What he wants is the message, what is in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, on which the spiritual master is established on the truth, the same message should go to the disciple. That is his desire. So, he says to him that you never listened to me, what I was saying all these days. None of them you took it inwards, internally. And you kept on looking at my body and my bodily happiness. And you started looking at me thinking that the spiritual master is this body. Another mistake. Thinking that the spiritual master is the body, he said. And you kept on looking at it, thinking that the spiritual master is this body, and he kept on looking at this body in this way, in this way. You thought that, that you were thinking like that, that I have found the truth, and I will be able to hand it over to you. You thought like that, he said. But I am Siddhartha Gautama. Buddha says, I am Siddhartha Gautama. And it took a long time for me to realize the truth. Many, many years. And finally, I found out the truth myself, he's saying. I found out the truth myself. Similarly, if you struggle like the way I have struggled in your own life, you can also find out the truth one day on your own. This is what Buddha told Anand. And after saying that, he says to him that Buddha spoke to Anand in that way. And he says to him, you become a light to yourself. You become a light for yourself. Light into yourself. And instead of looking for that light to come from outside, because what the spiritual master can do is to keep telling you the truth, what the truth is. But it has to come out from inside of one's own. The truth has to come out. But you have to take shelter of that truth inside. Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam, that spiritual master cannot come and hand it over to you. No spiritual master can do that, and they will never do it all. They can't do it also. That's how it is. What he's saying here is that Buddha says to Anand, there is a light inside, Atma. All these years I was talking about it. And these disciples who had come and got it and gone away, they were very quick to get the message properly, and they took advantage of it, and they realized it, and they're gone. You were with me last 40 years, doing all the service to me. thinking that I am this body, but never listen to one word what I have spoken about. So that's why you are in this situation. So finally he says to him that I have struggled, I am Siddhartha Gautama, I have struggled all my life, and finally I found out the truth myself. Within me I realized the truth. You can also do that and find the truth yourself. This is what he told Ananda at the end. But you have to depend on that truth which is inside you as Santariyami. He says, that is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava also. Uddhava says, Uddhava, Almano Guru Almaiva. Almano Guru Almaiva. Purushasya Visheshada. Pratyakshayanam Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. You look in the Bhagavatam, it is there. Krishna is saying this. Famous verse it is. That is, if you have understood that verse properly, you won't go after other things. Because what is a spiritual master? Is a spiritual master looking for some menial services? What's he going to do with it? He knows he is not the body. The body is going to go. So you are trying to serve that body. I think it is in the 7th chapter, I think. 11-7. I think it is in 7. Almano gurura almaiva purushasya visheshaya. 20th verse. 7-20. 11-7-20. That it is with that statement Krishna begins the teaching to Uddhava. First thing to know is this. Almano gurur almaiva purushasya visheshada yat pratyaksha anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. Who is Guru? Guru is nobody else than your own Antaryami. He takes a form and comes outside and to send you back inwards towards him again to Antaryami. That's Guru's job. Finished with that. It is again what Guru does is sends your attention towards Antaryami. That's Guru's duty. So instead of giving attention to Antaryami, if you give attention to the Guru all the time, saying that, thinking that he is that body he has taken, Antaryami has taken that body and came outside to send you back towards Antaryami. Because you are not going inwards, he came out and sent you inwards. That's what he has done. So that's what it is. Almano Guru Almaiva. Almana Guru Almaiva is no different than that. Purushasya Visheshada. Then pratyaksham anumanam, that is the two processes through which shreyasam anuvindade is mentioned in there. So that is, so what does Guru does? Guru shows us the Guru who is inside. The Guru outside is showing us the Guru who is inside. Who is inside? So that is the job of the Guru who is outside. The outside Guru's job is to show the Guru who is inside. Otherwise, the Guru who is outside, he can't do anything. He can't do anything. He can take you to a little short distance, giving you some understanding and some instructions. That's all he can do. For a short distance, he can carry you. But actually, in all of us, our own Antaryami is the Guru. Our own Antaryami is the Guru. And then that Guru who is inside, who is our, when we get purified with our vasanas gone and our chittavritti stops at that time, anything that intuition that is coming inside, or the intuition inside, or our decisions or our realizations, whatever that comes inside, it will become our Guru. It will become our Guru. And that Guru is our light or the guide. And in this way, if the knowledge of the self develops in everybody, then that is called Deepavali. That's called Diwali. So that is why, remember this, when Krishna appeared, if you look into Devaki's prayers, what did she say? That is Deepavali. Devaki explains what Deepavali means. If you look into that chapter 2 or 3, I think. Chapter 3. if you look into the two prayers, Vasudeva's prayers from verse 13, Devaki's prayers from verse 24. Verse 24. Rupam yat tat prahu avyaktam adyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvikaram satamatram nirvishesham niriham satvam sakshal Vishnu adhyalpa divam. That is Deepavali. Deepavali is this actually. The other Deepavali is for us to have a good time. Our Deepavali. Eat a lot of sweets and some good opportunity to socialize. But Shastram Deepavali is this. What Shastram says, this is the Deepavali. So he says, Sakshal Vishnu Adhyalpa Deepam. Adhyalpa Deepam. Saying to Krishna, you are Adhyalpa Deepam. Or Adhyalpa Deepam, what? Adhyalpa Deepam, Sakshad Vishnu, that the lamp which is the light of the knowledge. Light of knowledge. Where is the knowledge? Knowledge is in our Swarupam, in our identity, isn't it? So, that person who is inside us as Antaryami, that Vastu inside as Antaryami, that is the knowledge. That is, and that is our Swarupam. And once that lamp is lit, and that starts burning, then you can say what Bhagavad Gita is saying. And that is what when Bhagavad Gita says, if you look into the 13th chapter, what Krishna says. Look into the 13th chapter, when Krishna, I think it is the 13th, Jyotisham Abhidha Jyoti, that verse. That is in the, Krishna says there, Jyotisham Abhidha Jyoti. Thirteen eighteen. That's it. Jyotisham abhidha jyoti tamasa param uchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. This is Deepavali. This is actual Deepavali. So, when the knowledge of the self manifests in a person, and we become that knowledge, that's what we are. Because as we discussed all this time, we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the intelligence, we are not the senses, none of them. Then we ask the question, what are we? That's what we are. This awareness inside. And when that happens, that lamp inside is a lamp for all other lamps. Jyotisham abhidha jyoti kriti sarvasya, Krishna says, tamasa paramuchyade jnanam eyam jnana gamyam kriti sarvasya vishtidam. When we discuss the 13th chapter, we discuss that verse in detail. So, if you go back into those classes, if you want to go through that verse again, to understand that, that is what this is referring to. So, Jyoti Sam Abhishad Jyoti. So, it's 10 o'clock now. We'll have a short break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam mridipadam purnamridasvadhanam sarvatna suvanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namna magari bahudan jasarva shakti tatrarpidani midas maranena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi dubdaivami drishamihajani nanuragaham tranara vishunichena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahe Tugitvai Ayi Nandadanu Jagingaram Patidamam Shame Bhavambudo Krubayatava Pada Pangajasti Raduli Sadrasham Vijindaya
ജലദശുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയ ഗിര പുളകയർജിതം കഥാവഭു തവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ നമേ. ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ തുലം പടോ അൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേ മനാപര. സോ വാട്ട് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ്? ജ്യോതിഷാം അഭിത ജ്യോതി തമസ പരമുച്ചതേ ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞേയം ജ്ഞാനഗമ്യം ഹൃതി സർവസ്യ വിഷ്ഠിതം. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So that is Antaryami. Antaryami description that is. Jyotisham abhidha jyoti tamasaparam uchyate. ജ്ഞാനം ഏയം ജ്ഞാനഗമ്യം ഹൃതി സർവസ്യ വിഷ്ഠിതം. സോ ദാറ്റ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ഓൾസോ ഈസ് എക്സാക്ട്ലി സെയിങ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് സോ യു കൻ സീ ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ജ്യോതിഷാം അഭിത ജ്യോതി ഹീ ഈസ് ദ ലൈറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ അതർ ലൈറ്റ്സ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഓൾ അതർ തിങ്സ് വാട്ട് യു ആർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ് ഈസ് കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം ദർ ഹീസ് ഇഫ് ഹീസ് നോട്ട് ദർ നത്തിങ് എൽസ് റിമെയിൻസ് ഹിയർ ആൻഡ് ഹീ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ ഹൃതി സർവസ്യ വിഷ്ഠിതം ഹീ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ എവരിബഡീസ് ഹാർട്ട്. അന്തര്യാമി ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് അന്തര്യാമി. ജ്യോതിഷാം അഭിത ജ്യോതി ഹൃദി സർവസ്യ വിഷ്ഠിതം ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ ജ്ഞാനം ഏയം ജ്ഞാനഗമ്യം. ജ്ഞാനം ഏയം ജ്ഞാനഗമ്യം ഹിസ് നോളജ് ഹിസ് ദി ഒബ്ജക്ട് ഓഫ് നോളജ് ഹിസ് ദ ഗോൾ ഓഫ് നോളജ് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് ദ സെയിം ഈസ് ഹിം. സോ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഹി ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഓൺലി ഇൻ ദി ഹാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ശങ്കരാചാര്യ ഓർ രാമകൃഷ്ണ or Ramana Maharshi or Srila Prabhupada. It is not only in their hearts, it is in our hearts as well. That is the important thing. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam, Krishna is saying there. It is there in everybody's heart. Not that only in acharyas or in the great devotees or jnanis. No, Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. And that is why it mentions there, ബ്രഹ്മാദി പിപീലികാന്ത തനുഷു. യു വിൽ സീ എ വേർഡ്സ് സംവയർ മനീഷാമിച്ചാമതി തിങ്ക് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് സംവയർ ബ്രഹ്മാദി പിപീലികാന്ത തനുഷു ഹു ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ ഓൺ വേർഡ്സ് റൈറ്റ് അപ് ടു ദി ലോവസ്റ്റ് ഗ്രാസ് ഹീസ് പ്രസന്റ് ദയർ. ദിസ് ബ്രഹ്മാദി പിപീലികാന്ത തനുഷു ബ്രഹ്മാദി വിപീലികാന്ത തനുഷു യെസ് യാ മനീഷാമഞ്ചകം. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് യു വിൽ സീ ജാഗ്രൽ സ്വപ്ന സുഷുപ്തിഷു സ്ഫുടതര യാ സംവിദ്ജംഭദേ യാ ബ്രഹ്മാദി പിപീലികാന്ത തനുഷു പ്രോതാ ജഗൽ സാക്ഷിണി സൈവാഹം നജദൃശ്യവസ്ഥിതി ദൃഢപ്രജ്ഞാമേയസ്യാസ്തി ചേൽ ചണ്ഡാലോസ്തു സദുദ്വിജോസ്തു ഗുരുരിത്യേഷാ മനീഷാമമ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഫ്രം ദി Manisha Panchakam, the first verse itself. Brahmadi Pipilikanda Tanushu. From Brahma onwards, right up to the smallest amoeba, or the smallest worm, you can say, in them that this bodham, or awareness, is present there, and it is shining in all of them. And there also, in Lord Brahma also. And only if you take shelter of that awareness in present in us, present in all the living entities, only by taking shelter of that you will be able to realize the truth. So, and that is the way that this light has to shine from inside. Jyotisham abhidha jyoti, that jyoti inside. Then, and that is our pure, that is our proper identity, proper identity. Then we are ourselves that light inside. That is what that seventh words. Balyadishvapi jagradadishu tatha sarvasu avasthasvapi vyavruttasvanivartamanamaham ityandaspurandam andaspurandam sada. Andaspurandam sada.
always it's shining inside everybody. Swalpanam pragati karodi bhajadam yo badrayam udrayam. Swalpanam pragati karodi bhajadam yo badrayam udrayam. That who is shining inside all the time, and that's him. That's Antaryami inside, yo bhadraya mudraya. That's one to be for realization. So, and to that Gurumurti, tasmai shri Gurumurtayam namidam shri Dakshinamurtayam. So, only with the grace of that Antaryami inside, this will happen. Realization will happen only through Antaryami. The guru outside, external guru, is only a helping hand, an assistant in that. He assists, but it is him who gives the grace to realize the truth. Self-realization happens through Antaryami. Antaryami has to make you realize, give you the realization. The external guru is only a helping hand in that, an assistance in that way. So, but the lamp is already burning there inside, and not that somebody has to light it, it's already lighted, it's lighting there, and the lamp is burning there. But what's happening here is that we are ourselves that lamp. That's what Krishna is saying there. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasat paramuchyate jnanam eyam jnanagamyam and hriti sarvasya vishtidam. So, with that burning inside lamp, we are inquiring, where is God, where is God, where is He, where is He? So, so by nature itself, we are that lamp inside. As long as there is life inside, Antaryami inside, the lamp is inside, then where will you inquire about the darkness, about the darkness? there was a great devotee, Jagadish Shastri. What was his name? He was a great scholar, devotee of Maharshi at that time. There were two personalities who were highly learned. One was Kavyakanta Ganapati and the other one was Jagadish Shastri. These two personalities. They were, you could say that on a learning is concerned, they were more learned than Maharshi himself. Maharshi didn't go to study any Shastram. Maharshi had realizations. But these two personalities, both Kavyakanta Ganapati and Jagadish Shastri, both of them were highly learned in the Shastram. And there were many others as well, but these two personalities were the main learned scholars, you could say that. And many others who were disciples were all Kavyakanta Ganapati's disciples, they were. When Kavyakanta Ganapati took Ramana Maharshi as his spiritual master, others have also followed him. In that way it happened. He had over 10,000 disciples, Kavyakanta Ganapati. Mahatapasvi, there is a book you can buy about him. His austerities and penances, if you read, you will be frightened with his austerities, the kind of things he did. That you will go to Ganga River and bathe in the river and sit in the bank of the river in Samadhi state for days together, without prasadam, without any sleep, nothing. He could sit there. He felt such ecstasy while bathing in the river. Always on the spiritual platform, completely. And if you look at his photographs, because it's not so long ago, look at his photo, the body itself is a completely a symbol of austerity. So lean and so, and the eyes and the face, everything. Such an effulgent face. And he used to move from one temple to another. From Ganga River, he used to go to Gokarnam, to Maharashtra, and to Banaras. Like this, he traveled walking to all these places. That too. And always discussing and debating with the learned scholars about Shastra. And there is a discussion about that, his visit to Mayapur. And Mayapur had, at that time, in Mayapur, there were scholars who were qualified in the Nyaya Shastra in his time. And he goes and defeats all of them in their Nyayam also. A learned, highly learned scholar, but didn't have the realizations like Maharshi had. Maharshi had deep realizations. So he comes to Maharshi and asks about that. And then he later on sees in Maharshi as his guide for the future development. So in one instance, on a midday, Maharshi walks into the Tirunavalai hill, goes for a walk. In those days it was not like today. Today everywhere auto rickshaws, buses, cars flying around. The hill looks like as though it is modernized everything. People are trying to build things, steps have been built and everything. In them days it didn't exist. It was like a forest land. There were a lot of trees and there were wild animals even in that forest. So, but Maharshi used to walk in that hill. Ramana Maharshi, for him Tiruvannamalai hills were very dear to him. He considered it as Lord Shiva and that was he was. So, Maharshi never used to call anybody by name. That was not his nature. But in everybody he used to offer respects to them. Maharshi's nature was like that. And call everyone with a lot of respect, he used to call him. So, in Maharshi's conversations, you won't find any address anybody like the way by name or by, you know, with a lot of respect he used to speak. But two or three people who are very dear to him, he used to be in a friendly terms with them because they were with him when he was very small, when he was very young, they have been together. So this Jagadish Shastri, he had been in touch with Ramana Maharshi at the age of nine. And there was also another school teacher, Sundaresha. He used to call him Sundaresha. And Jagadish Shastri used to call him Jagadish. Used to call him Jagadish like that, by name. Which was a special relationship for him. Because they knew each other from a childhood. From the childhood. They went to school together. And so therefore that relation stayed. So one day he invited him to come, let's go for a walk to the top of the hill, he said. And he never walked on top of the hill with the shoes on, because the hill was considered to be Shiva's form, Tirunavalai hills. So he will never put slippers or shoes on, and it was, Tirunavalai gets very hot in the summer. You can say 45, 47 degrees, see, and it is too hot to walk at that time. So Jagadish says to him, that how can I walk in this heat? It's too hot for me, he said. And my feet will burn, he said. I can't bear this, he said. Maharshi says to him, I'm walking, what's the harm? You can also walk, he said. He told him like this. So Jagadish says to him, I'm not like you, he said. So Maharshi told him, you also got two legs like me, what's the difference? He said. Maharshi says to him. But Jagadish kept on saying, no, I can't come, it is too hot for me, I won't be able to put my feet. He said, but Maharshi won't allow. He pushed, forced him to come with him. Let's go, he said, we'll walk, he said. And then after a while, he started feeling the heat. And that to the rock, you can imagine. When the rock gets very hot, then you can't put the feet on top, isn't it? Suppose there is some grass, something, even if it gets hot, you can put the feet on. You know how it is. But if it is sand or rock, it will get more hot than the sun. And if you put your feet, it will definitely burn. Blisters will come in the feet. So, after a while, he says to Maharshi, Jagadish says to him, I can't walk anymore. He said, from the top, the sun is burning my head. And from the bottom, the feet is also burning. I can't walk, he said. So Maharshi says to him that at that point Maharshi says to him that I have not brought you here to get your head burned, he said. So the Maharshi didn't say anything later about this, but Jagadish talks about it, what happened at that day. It's in his memoirs, he puts it there. He said there was another devotee, Chamanlal. That was another devotee. He was a yogi. He was there. And one day, Jagadish came to Mumbai. Chamanlal is from Gujarat. He lived in Mumbai. They met each other in Tirunavalai, and Chamanlal invited Jagadish to come to Mumbai. And they were going somewhere. And they were walking in Bombay through the streets. Long ago, we are talking about something like 60, 70 years back. 70 years, you could say. 70 years ago, this incident happened. So, Jagadish didn't have any shoe also when he was walking in Mumbai. So this yogi Chamanlal, he was a yogi, asked Jagadish that, Jagadish, how do you walk like this without any slippers or shoes in the feet? Nowadays, if you walk without any shoes or slippers, people will think, what's wrong with you? You must be either so poor that you can't afford to buy. But in the olden days, say about 40, 50 years ago, nobody had shoes and slippers like we have today. Very rarely somebody will use it. Everybody walked with the bare feet. Practically everyone. Walked with in the summer and in the winter time, all the times. So, and shoes were not manufactured like the way it's built. And there were not so many shops in the high street selling shoes of all the things like you see here. Today there's only two things, clothes and the shoes. All the shops, you go in the high street, they are opening, they are closing, one to the other. So, but there were not shoe shops. There will be some cobblers who will make in the village. If you definitely need one, you go to him and he'll make it for you. Bata was not there, so there was no Hawaii slippers or anything like that. It was an unusual thing to have shoes and slippers and all that. Nobody wore that. So he asked Jagadish, how do you walk without the slippers? And I can't imagine, because in streets in the Mumbai, the road, the tar has melted in the heat. It's coming out, you can imagine. So Jagadish says to him, no heat is affecting me now. My feet is not experiencing, because Ramana Maharshi has given him a mantra called Surya Raksha. How to protect from the sun. Surya Raksha mantra. And Chamanlal says to him that, I have never heard to anybody Ramana Maharshi giving a mantra like that. I never heard that before. So Jagadish says to him, this incident happened, he said. I went with him for a walk and I told him that I can't bear this heat from the sun anymore. And at that time, he instructed me this. Surya Raksha Mantra, what that is? That then when you think that you are separate from the sun, only then you feel the heat. If you become the sun, then you won't feel the heat of the sun. This is the special powers of the jnanis. Jnanis, how do they... This is what realization means. We won't understand this. If I say to anybody, or I myself will find it hard to understand this, that if you say that you are not separate from the sun, then the sun will not have any influence on you. It can have not any influence on you. So you yourself become the sun, then the heat won't be there in the body. So, because sun won't affect the sun itself, it won't affect, isn't it? Therefore, he told him, meditate on this, Suryasmi. Suryasmi, I am the sun. I am the sun. And when he did that meditation, Jagadish experienced that there was no heat coming from the feet. He was not experiencing the feet. And Jagadish says, I walked with Maharshi all the way to the top and came back. I didn't know anything what happened. This is what is called dharana. You remember in the yoga system? Dharana. Yamam, neyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana. So if you develop a dharana like that, all the qualities of that particular object will come to you. It is one of the Aishwarya Siddhis. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna mentions this. We discussed this. If you look into the how dharana you have to perform in the 19th chapter, I think it is. It comes. 19th or 20th. Somewhere there, Aishwarya Siddhi Krishna is discussing there. One of the Aishwarya Siddhis is this. But highly advanced personalities who knows these things, they will sometimes they will. You see there, 15th chapter, 11:15. The whole chapter is about Aishwarya Siddhi. Whole chapter is about Aishwarya Siddhi. And it begins like this. Uddhava asa. Krishna says, Jitendriyasya yuktasya jitashwasasya yogina mai dharadayas cheda upatishtandi siddhaya. How do you get siddhis? You get siddhis through dharana. Dharana is the process. And Uddhava asking him, which dharana you have to get different siddhis? To acquire different siddhis, what kind of dharana you have to perform? Kaya dharanaya counsel katham siddhi rachuda kativa siddhayo brohi yoginam siddhido bhavan. by performing which dharana, what siddhi you will get. But we talked about all this when we discussed this. That by performing which dharana, what siddhi you will get. Uddhava is asking. And then Krishna is saying there, what kind of dharana you have to do to get which siddhi. So there you will notice there, that anima mahima mohtar lekima praptir indriyai prakamyam shruta drishteshu shakti prerana meshida. And in that way he keeps on saying this, and paragayam mishan siddham alpanam tatra bhavayel pindam hitva vishel prano vayibhuda shadangrival. There is a whole list there, whole list. And they tell you where you have to you have to become that. That is called a dharana. You become that by your power of sankalpam inside. That's what it is. The power of sankalpam inside. You become that. You become sun by your sankalpam, by your resolve inside. If you become that, then all the qualities of the sun, you have it. You have it. So that is that power. Then everything is explained there. That if you do with the mind, mano samana, you can make your body lighter than the air, lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest, and you can travel in, move into somebody else's body. You can get into somebody else's body. You can listen to a conversation happening in America sitting here without any instrument. Without any instrument. Actually, you can listen here, sitting here. And you can talk to somebody who is far away from you, from here, sitting here. So, you can give up your body when you want. And you can see what is happening in the heavenly planets, sitting here. And trigalachyattum adyondum parajitta dhyabhijnada agni arkam ambu ushadina padishta ambho parajaya. Fire, sun, and all other things through this sangalpam, you can become that. Their qualities you can acquire in this state when you are in this body. If you read, the whole thing will tell you what that dharana means. So that dharana happened to Jagadish. Maharshi told him how to perform that, and with the result of that, he told him that suryosmi, perform that meditation, resolve that. And he managed to do that, and he did not experience. There was no other way, he says. I have reached the middle of the mountain, middle of the hill. So, what can I do? I can't even walk back. I can't go further. That was the situation. Half the way I've reached. And therefore, whatever Maharshi did, told me to do, I did that, he said. What it is when you have this dharana, you have to accept what Shastram says. You can't think that it's going to work or not. If you think like that, it won't happen. Whether it's going to be effective or not, if you think like that, it won't happen. I have accepted as it is. Maharshi told me I am the sun, and I accepted it, he said. So, and when I started doing that, after a while I started realizing the heat is not bothering me. Heat is not bothering me. And I started feeling cool inside. And there was no blisters. The feet was perfectly safe. And I don't know, he says, when I arrived at Skandashram. Skandashram is only on the way to the hill. I can't remember. He said, I didn't know I got there somehow. After that, Jagadish says here that afterwards I never had to do that anymore, he said. And only on that day I did that, and that experience was assimilated into my system. From then onwards, the heat has never bothered me. And therefore, he said that I could walk on the street in Mumbai. It didn't bother me at all, he said. There are so many interesting personalities like this who had, they were jnanis and they were yogis as well. If you can just Google this and read it about their behavior, some of them. Trilinga Swami in Benares. Trilinga Swami. He came from a village near Vishakhapatnam in Andhra, on the east coast, not far from, between Jagannathpuri and Vishakhapatnam, 10 kilometers from Vishakhapatnam, Trilinga Swami. Such a great personality, you can't believe the kind of things he could do. He invited Ganga River to come, Ganga followed him. He used to live in a cave, and what he used to do was, he won't speak to anybody. Trailinga Swami won't speak to anybody. All the Siddhis were with him. All the Siddhis he had. And he never wore clothes. He had no clothes on. Used to walk around without any clothes. So it was British time. British ruled India at that time. So they took a case against him for, exposing himself like that. So people who knew him, they told the British police authorities that don't do anything to him because he is a yogi and he is so advanced in the yoga system that you will not be able to do anything to him. He is not bound by our law, he said. But the police officer, or police commissioner, or whoever it is, said, we can't allow this to happen, walking around everywhere in this way. So they arrested him. He went with them, put him in a cell, and locked him up nicely, and arranged policemen to keep an eye and give him food and everything, but not let him out, he said. As soon as they came out, this man is standing outside. What do you do? What can the police do? He is not annoyed with anybody, but his siddhis are such powerful siddhis he had. This Trailinga Swami. It is the word Thailang in Telugu has come as Trailingam in Hindi. That so Trailinga Swami. Then many people went to see him. Vivekananda and all were there going to visit him to talk to him about the yoga processes. But he was so advanced in the Hindi, but not into preaching or anything, not propagating anything. Highly learned, and won't take any food. Some months together will stay in the cave, you won't see him. Sometimes on Ekadashi day he will come out. And he will cook food and give it to others on Ekadashi day. Ekadashi prasadam, he used to give it to others. Like that. There's a whole details of that in the Wikipedia. If you look, you will see about him. Prabhupada mentions about him, about this Trailinga Swami's activities in some of the conversations, he said. There were such yogis, he said. Then there is another one, Pavahari Baba, who lived in Hrishikesh. Pavahari Baba. He was so realized that nothing will bother him in this world. Heat, cold, nothing, no hope. When it's freezing in Hrishikesh in the winter time, absolutely no effect at all on the body. So far away from the body. There are so many like this. In the Himalayas particularly, there used to be many. There are still many, but we won't know about them. And some people had, fortunately, some access towards them. And they have written books about that, the way of life, and they live in the Himalayas like that. So, so coming back here, that our Jagadish had the same situation. On a little level, on a small level, he had that experience. So, so Maharshi also like that. In him, like extreme heat, extreme cold and all these things, or when it's raining heavily, or when the sun is very hot, never he will talk one word about the weather. Maharshi will never speak one word about the weather. One Kunjaswami who stayed with him for 30 years or so, he says, he has never spoken one word about the weather in all the... We will always be complaining about the weather. How cold it is, how hot it is, this, that and the other. But Maharshi will never speak one word about the weather. Never. One spoke a word about the weather. Because he himself had this power in him that on his own he could, through this dharana, he used to become that. And so when what will he say about the heat then? And similarly with the rain also, he himself becomes the rain. So rain is not bothering him anymore. So similarly winter time, he will become the cold weather and then he won't feel the cold anymore. So what does it mean? It means as much, whenever there is two, Dvaidam, there will be problem. There will be problem. So this thing called Advaidam is not actually a Siddhantam. What we have to understand is that in duality, if you feel there is two things existing, that is what he called, they are all Dvandvam, isn't it? They are all Dvandvam. Krishna says there, Shidoshna Sukhadukkeshu Agamabhayino Anityam Tam Tidikshasa Bharata Matras Prashasta Kaundeya. What does that mean? It means that as long as you are feeling this duality in the world, heat, cold, happiness, distress, you will experience the problem with that. So the way to come out from Dvandvam is to that you become one with them. You become one with that. Then you won't know the effect of that. It is that duality that is causing the problem. Duality is causing the problem. So, so that is what Advaitam also is about, that. It's not a Siddhantam in that sense. So all the jnanis, when they come to that state, when they come to that state, they will know this, that Advaitam is the truth. Advaitam is the truth. So even Ramakrishna Paramahamsa also, Vivekananda, spiritual master, he used to say it like this. He puts it in a very simple way. He explains this. He said, when students learn medicine first, in the Ayurveda system also, here also it's like that in the allopathy, but in the olden days, the students will go with the experienced physician, with the consultant, like now the students will go with the consultants in the ward, everywhere, isn't it? And they will observe how the physician is doing everything. Ayurvedam also it's like that. For a long time, the students won't have the capacity to do the treatment. But by observing the physician, chief physician, who is actually examining all the patients and making the decisions, they observe that, and being with him all the time, they all become like him. They all become like him. But if you stay at home and simply study the books alone, you won't get that knowledge. You won't get that knowledge. But he has to stay with the consultant or with the chief physician to get trained in that way, and you acquire the training from him and you become like that. Similarly, all dvandvam, all duality, heat, cold, everything, and happiness, distress, all these things, what you are getting from the books is, you are getting it like a theory behind it. But how to live that in practical life, that is more important. The principle you can get from the book about everything. So when you get association with realized souls, that's what's happening. You get the practical experience of it. How to bring that into practical life. Like what we are studying in the books, it's all theoretical knowledge, isn't it? But when you get the association of a realized soul, in their association you will learn how to translate this knowledge into practical life. By being there. Like the students, the medical students. That's how they learn. Medical students, when they come out of the college, they know nothing. This theory, they have studied all the books, they have passed all the tests. To some extent they have practiced in the life. But when they are put right in front of a patient, only then they will know the problems. How to diagnose the disease properly. And that time, that's when the consultants or the people who are seniors, they give all the help to the students. If you go into hospital, you will see the consultant may come to look at you, but he will be assisted with all the registrars and the junior doctors and everybody. Students, they will all come. But they all won't say anything. They will stand there respectfully to looking into the consultant. Consultant will look, ask you the questions, and he will come to the conclusions, and they will be observing what questions he is asking, how he is reacting to the situation, and how he is making the decisions. Like this every day, day after day after day, for years together, they will be observing and they will get the confidence after that. So all these years what they have studied in the books is simply the theory. It is not of much of a... It is helpful, but at the same time, practically that realization is happening is like this. That they become proper physicians only after they have spent years with somebody like that. So in the same way, in spiritual life also, we are studying books, we are doing what we can in our state, but when does that all happens to us? When you have the association of a person who is living that life, in that realized state, their association will help. Otherwise it's not. So that is why it says here, that when you yourself become that light, ignorance goes away. That means when you become the light, there is no darkness anymore. It is in that sense that Jesus Christ has said, I am the light. Remember? Jesus says, I am the light. It is that what he is talking about. What we have done is, after 2000 years of Jesus has left this world, we started saying that it was a light that existed 2000 years ago. So you have to go back 2000 years to get that light now. That is not how it is. The light is, we are all that light. We have to get it. Like the way Jesus had that light, realization inside, we also have to have that. So if you have to go back 2000 years to find the light, then that's not worthwhile. That's why Jesus said, I am the light. That light is within us, within all of us. So he is not talking about a person who was there 2000 years ago. 2000 years ago. That means right now, within this body, each one of us, and within this particular body, I am that light is shining there. Is shining there. And when say for example, when I am speaking, that is coming from that light, is able to give the power to that. What are words I am talking from there. Similarly, while sitting and listening to that, the light inside you is giving you the power to hear and assimilate that. So it is because that is what that light you are talking about. Not the light which was appeared in 2000 years ago or 5000 years ago. Krishna was there, and whatever Krishna has spoken is in relationship with this Antaryami. Whatever is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam is all about our Antaryami. Not about Krishna who lived 5000 years ago. If it was like that, you have to go back 5000 years to find it. No, it's not. That's why he's saying here, I am the light, he said. And when Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita also, aham, 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 it is all based on this aham inside, awareness inside. You remember that verses in the 8th or 9th chapter, so many aham Krishna saying there, isn't it? Aham. When he says, aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha, what does that mean? We are thinking, oh, Krishna is keeping record of all my sinful life, and he is saying to me that if I surrender, he will cross it over all the sins I have done. That's what we understood, isn't it? Sarvadharman paritejyam amekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. We are thinking, most of us are thinking like that, that there Krishna is keeping a record of all my sinful life. And then when I have completely surrendered, what he will do is, he will take the book, my ledger, he will pull it out from there, from his rack, and he will cut off everything. Okay, he has surrendered now, I have taken it off. It is not, there is no, everything is already packed inside. Aham tvam sarvabhi means that Antaryami inside, when your surrender is complete, Antaryami knows that, and that's it, he has released you at that point from there. And similarly, all the aham in the Bhagavad Gita, in how many places Krishna has spoken, you can see there, aham, aham, aham. He says, for example, aham, aham adirhi devanam, 10-2, aham adischa, aham adhyanja madhyanja. Aham Atma Budagesha Sarva Bhuda Shastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. All that will make sense if you understand in terms of Antaryami. But if you start thinking in terms of the person 5000 years ago appeared, then it is very difficult to explain that verses. Similarly, Avam Evakshaya Kalo 10:33. Aham Hi Sarva Yajnanam Aham Kradur Aham Yajna Aham Krishnasya Jagata Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Aham Tuam Sarva Bhavebhyo Aham Vaishwanaryo Bhutva. All this aham is referring to this Antaryami inside.
Antaryami
inside. So that is a way to understand that. So inside everybody, as the light, the lamp shining inside, and the sound that comes from inside, and that is that lamp. It is the presence of that. That is that experience inside. And to know that experience, you don't have to become anything because you are already that. already you are that. But what is happening is that it's being covered. The lamp is being covered. But what you have to remember, that it is due to the presence of that lamp, everything else gets activated. All the senses gets activated, mind gets activated, intelligence gets activated. And so that is why it is called the lamp of all the lamps. Lamp of all the lamps. That means the whole manifestation of the world is due to the presence of that. Kim Jyotihi Tava Bhanuman. In that one verse. One old Brahmana in a village called Shivali in Karnataka asked Acharya Swamiji this question. What is that thing which illuminates everything else in this world? I have studied the Vedam, Shastram, and I am an old person now. And I still don't have the realization what it is. So, this old Brahmana approached Acharya Swamiji to give spiritual instructions to him. Acharya Swamiji asked him, what do I have to instruct you? What is that I know, what you do not know? He said to him, what do you want to know? The old man said, everything, all the knowledge in this world is dependent on another knowledge. What is that knowledge? He says to him. And when he asks that question, he says to him, I have heard like this, that there is another knowledge on which all other knowledge is dependent on. What is that knowledge? That instruct me that, he said. And that is what you find in the Kathopanishad also. Same thing comes in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad says there that if you look, Na tatra suryo bhadi, verse 15, in the last chapter. Na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taragam. Nema vidyido bhadi kuto yamani. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. It's a famous verse in the Kathopanishad. He says, Na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taragam. Nema vidyido bhadi kuto yamani. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. If you read through that verse and its commentary, it's saying here that this is the last verse which Yama has spoken to in that second chapter, 15th verse. He says, last verse, Yama Dharmaraja is saying to Nachiketas, Nachiketas, you are an intelligent person. This world you are perceiving because of the sun and the moon and the stars and all other planets, we are seeing it. Because of the presence of the sun and the moon, you are able to see everything, isn't it? But those planets also, sun and the moon, they also don't have the capacity to show you the Paramatma, Antaryami. Antaryami you can't see with any of these things. You can see everything else with that, sun and the moon. But Antaryami you can't see. Not only that, the sun and the moon and the planets and all of them, they are shining because of this Antaryami. That means due to the presence of Antaryami, the sun gets the power to shine. Not due to the power of the sun that I can see the Antaryami. It is Antaryami who is giving power to the sun. Power to the sun. And therefore, Antaryami is more important. Sun and the moon we are seeing, isn't it? Sun is shining. Where is the power to shine comes for the sun? The same Antaryami who is inside me is present in the sun, and because of that Antaryami sun is shining.
Like for us, we get the power for the senses to operate because of our Antaryami. Similarly, this special power what the sun has got to shine is coming from sun's Antaryami. Similarly with the moon also. Moon's Antaryami gives the power to the moon to shine. And equally with all the stars in the creation. Not only sun and moon, all the stars in the creation. Similarly, Yamadharmaraja says to Nachiketas, even the fire, when it is burning, the heat and the light that comes from the fire, if the Antaryami does not give it for the fire god, fire won't have heat, fire won't have light either. This is the power of the Antaryami. Antaryami's position, that is, and spoken in the most elegant way. Na tatra suryo bhadi, sun and the moon, sun will not shine, it says. Na chandrata aragam, neither the moon nor the stars. Nema vidyido bhadi, electricity can't work if Antaryami is not giving that power for that. Kuto yama agni, fire cannot operate. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam, because if he is not, then it is dependent on him all other things. Sun, moon, stars, electricity, and agni, fire, everything. Tameva bhadam sarvam anubhadi. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. He says, tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. It is only because of him that Antaryami, this whole world is appearing in front of us in the way it is. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. So what did Acharya Swamiji says to this Brahmana? Acharya Swami says to him that, have you read this verse? He said, have you read this verse? Brahmana has read this many times. But he says to him, so Acharya begins from the very beginning. He says to him, in the daytime you are seeing objects, aren't you? Yes. Who is giving the light? Bhanuman. The sun is giving the light. So okay. At the night time what happens? There is no light. But yes, I see with the help of the lights what I put on. Sadidam ravidarshanam jodihi. So how do you see the lamp and how do you see the sun? He says, I see with my eyes. So okay, if you are seeing with the eyes, you are seeing the object. Tasani jabi samaye kim. But when you go to sleep and you close your eyes, you are still seeing. How is that possible? That's why he caught him. Because when he kept saying him, I'm seeing with the eyes. But when you go to sleep, in the dream state, you are still seeing. How can you see that? So, everything is dark at that time. The room where you are sleeping is dark. And you are lying in the dark room. And you are seeing everything very clearly inside. How is that possible? So I see that in the dream very clearly. And even those who are blind, they can see that at that time in the dream. What they are seeing, isn't it? So, what did you do there at that time? So he says, oh, that is because of the intelligence inside me is opening up. So whose buddhi is that? In deep sleep state, that buddhi also goes away. So, and then you are waking up in the morning and you are saying, I didn't know anything what happened in the deep sleep. You are saying like that. So even in the absence of that deep sleep state, when buddhi was not there, somebody is seeing everything. Somebody is seeing everything. Who is that? He asked this Brahmana. Then Brahmana says, aham. He said, that's it. Business is over. He realized it. He realized the truth. So that yourself or that Jyotisham, without Jyoti, what Krishna is saying there. So if that Antaryami is not there, none of these things function, eyes cannot see in the day or in the night or in the dream state, waken state or dream state, or even in the deep sleep state, you won't know about it if the Antaryami is not there, because Antaryami is the one who is reporting in the morning when you wake up. So when when he said like that, how did the Brahmana answer? Tadasmi Prabho, says to Acharya. Of course it was Acharya's mercy also there that he was able to speak in that way and wake up that power from inside of the Brahmana. Brahmana studied Shastram, but realization wasn't there. So that is where this incident happened.
Ekashlogi it's called. In one word, he got to realize the self. But he was matured enough. The disciple was very matured. But in this one words, he realized the truth. Tadasmi Prabho. That's how the verse ends. Famous verse. It's there in the book. So, and that old person, old Brahmana, experienced and got satisfied with that. And so, basically, from outside, little by little, going inwards towards that vastu. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life means that, isn't it? And I am inside that awareness, andaryami, jnanam, prajna, nyapti, whichever way we avabhodam, whatever way you call it, that has to be experienced. Only then our spiritual life has any meaning. So, say for example, in a dark room, if you are sitting there for a short period of time for meditations, and the only thing what you have with you at that moment is that you are existing. That's all you know. And that is, that knowledge that you are existing is a very powerful experimental knowledge. Experimental knowledge it is. So, that is the reason you are able to say that you know, the result is known to you, that you are experiencing your awareness. And you don't require any light, lamp, or any other external thing to know that you are existing, awareness, isn't it? And it's there in the waking state, in the dream state, or both, it's there. That I am existing, that solid experience. And that's a solid experience, that is, your existence, isn't it? And it is keeping that as the center, that experience. This verse was written. Which one? Balyavastishu. This one. This sixth verse, seventh verse. Balyadishu bijagradadishu tatha sarvasavastasvapi vyavrutvasanuvartamanam ahamityandaspudan spirandam sadam svalpanam pragadikarodi bhajadam yo badraya mudraya tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. So, therefore, that balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam, the stages, changes in the body, it is happening inside the body, and healthy state, unhealthy state, it's coming and going in the body. Happiness, distress, these things are happening in the mind, happiness and distress. Jagrat, sotnam, sushupti, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, they are coming and going. In all these situations, unaffected by any of those things coming and going and changing, as a witness or a sakshi, avabhodam or awareness, I exist. That's what that verse is saying. That balya svalpmanam balyadishvabhi jagradadishu tatha sarvasavastha svabhi vyavrutta svanivartamanam aham ityandaspurandam sada svalpanam pragadi karodi vajadam yo bhadraya mudraya tasmai shri gurumurtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. So it is centered around this awareness, aham bodham, awareness, that this whole verse is compiled. As is mentioned, whether balyam kaumaram yavanam vardakyam, changes in the body, comes and goes. Then sarvasava jagradadishu avastha, jagrata sapnam sushupti, comes and goes. Vyavrta sanivartamanam ahamityandaspirandam sada. In spite of all that, changing things are happening in this body and the mind, intelligence, ego everywhere, he remains there unchanged, unaffected, all the time. Svalpanam prakati karyoti bhajadam yo bhadraya mudraya. That he is inside, is manifesting all the time, unaffected by anything what is happening there. That is Dakshinamurti, present inside as the Andaryami. And he is the center of all the happiness and all the shanti, peace of the inside what we experience. He is the center. And what is the greatest proof for that? How do you know that sukham, happiness or shanti or anandam is experienced there? Because you can see we are keep on talking about this subject for how many months or years now. The same thing in the Bhagavatam, you keep on talking about it again. But and after a while, you may be start thinking also, you may be able to say what I am going to say. On your, you'll start, this is what you're going to say next, you will say like that. To that extent, you will keep on listening, it becomes. So, but then, if it is like that, why do you come again to listen to that? Because that is how, it is not for knowing it, because that you've already heard so many times before. Sometimes we change the stories here and there a little bit to make it tasty. But the same principle, the tattvam has not changed. We go back to it again and again and again. And it is like bathing in the Ganga River. We could bathe in the Ganga River and then you again go and bathe in the Ganga River. Why? Because we feel that bathing in that knowledge changes inside. It purifies inside. Bathing in this knowledge of the self purifies inside. That is why we keep talking about the same thing. Sometimes people say, oh yeah, I've heard all this before. I don't want to, I've heard enough of that. No, the idea is not that. Why do we keep repeating this? Because if you keep on hearing it, it keeps purifying inside. This knowledge takes control inside. And therefore what will happen is, after a while, and you know what I'm going to say, this, oh, you're all going to back to say, Dhaniyam, you're going to talk about it, isn't it? You will say that to me. Doesn't matter, still you like to hear. Why? Because you know that when you are with the Antaryami, talking about Antaryami, that Shanti, Anandam or happiness is there. Because that is the source where it's coming from. That is why you are experiencing that at that time. So, so that is why it is spoken like that. I think it is 11:30. We'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, my food, please. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.